We can definitely do this.
All right, hold on then.
Maybe you have to go get the prescriptions out of
place. I literally
place.
Said, hold on then, and you started talking. When I said, hold on there, that's where you start the podcast.
But it's not, this one's not sponsored.
Who cares? Nobody cares.
Okay, fine.
Who cares?
Fair.
Do you care, listener? Viewer right now? No, you don't care. Do you care, champ?
I mean, I'd like to get paid.
Do you care, champ?
I want to get
They're
money.
Still getting fucking paid. Who cares?
Let's get fucking paid. Is what
we're
like
getting
say.
Paid no matter what. It doesn't like matter. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your best friends, Greg Miller, alongside producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
I want to say something, and I mean...
Oh, here we fucking go.
What are you going to say? I don't mean this as a pejorative. I don't mean this as an insult. You have gone like full hipster these days, and I like it.
What does that mean?
Look at this cool hipster mug you got of San Francisco.
Okay.
Where it looks
okay.
Like, look at there's a Don't. Surfboard
it's
on
from
it.
Andy and Town.
Why did Joey just nod that that's hipster? Having
Am I
a
wrong?
Nice.
It's a hipster mug.
It's a hipster ass
it
mug.
Is a hipster mug. How?
I don't agree with the full statement, no. But I do agree with the mug.
Thank you.
Exhibit A, hipster mug.
Yeah.
Exhibit B, you have your Converse shipped to you, and you have multiple pairs of the same Converse, and you just trade them out and throw the other one. Just throw
I've been
them
doing
out.
That since like the third grade.
Very hipster thing.
Not
maybe
shipped,
you were
I guess.
The original.
Yeah,
that's not hipster to me.
I used to go to Geechee's shoes down in Glen Ellen. Rest in peace.
Every once in a while, you wear all black, which is
well, that's
very
because
hipster.
I keep wearing out my
wearing
jeans.
All black right
you
now.
Have a you have the hipster hair beard combo.
I'll give you the beard. My hair is not hipster.
It's so hipster.
Your hair is hipster.
No, this hair is ex-hipster. I need to change my shit. Yours is future hipster. Yours is so hipster. It's dad.
Coming back?
It's dad from 1980s hipster. That's like OG hipster.
I do not have dad from 1980s hair.
Yeah, you do.
I have cool hair.
No, my dad had awesome hair
sure.
In the 80s.
Really?
You ever see that comic?
Like cool dads.
Oh, I'm not. I don't take it as an insult. Don't get me wrong. I get called daddy a lot.
Hey,
you're definitely a dad.
I'm dad bod for fucking
I don't know
sure.
About daddy.
Did you ever see that that coffee daddy. Table book they sold in the Urban Outfitters called Dads Are the Original Hipsters?
No.
And it's just a bunch of pictures of people's dads from the 80s and 70s, and they all look like people walking around San Francisco today.
Sure. Yeah,
but they're
yeah,
not
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
They just have Minolta camera straps. And
see,
like,
I think the fact that you go into Urban Outfitters proves you're the hipster.
No, I don't go anymore because the one by me is all women. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, that one sucks.
There's only two times you have to walk around a store with all women's before you go, this is really embarrassing. There's no guy stuff here, and
oh,
I am
yeah, yeah.
40 years old.
Sure.
Yeah.
For me, it's always when the wife or the girlfriend or whoever takes you into, like, oh, I want to pick up some stuff, and they go into, like, the underwear department of, like, Macy's or Nordstrom.
Awkward.
And then
awkward.
They go to try stuff on, and you're just some weirdo dude chilling out while other women are picking up underwear. Like, and I'm like, I can't not imagine
up,
you in them now. You
the,
know what I mean?
The one by the Nordstrom in downtown.
Matreon.
Yeah, you go. Matreon. You go upstairs, and they have one chair in the lingerie department, and it's right at the checkout. So every person that passes
so
you to
go
check
yeah,
out just makes you feel like the creepiest human being on the planet. I'm like,
sure.
Eyes down.
There's no way to not look creepy in
that
scenario.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Bad.
But it's like the world's most comfy chair. And I don't know if you've ever been lingerie shopping with a significant other. That shit takes forever.
Take out just
like,
shopping, period. You can take out the lingerie.
No, shopping,
part.
We can get a little more efficient and I can get into it. Like if my wife's doing
it.
Something, I'm like, oh, I'll look at that on. I'll try to weigh in on it. Like, I like that color. I like this. Let me get. I'm the guy that's like, hey, can you get a different size? Or if it's my wife. If it's my wife, it's can you get three of the same size so I can see how they fit differently?
Yeah.
That happens a lot. But there's nothing you can do to help with lingerie shopping except for be creepy.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so I'm like,
sure.
I'm just going to go. Like, I would rather spend time in the kids section without a child than I would with my wife in the lingerie section. That's how creepy I feel. When
sure. That's fair. That's fair. See, I'm in the, you know, hey, by the way, over here, Forbes 30 under 30 winner, AKA. The second best baby blues in San Francisco. AKA the engaged one at Tim Gettys.
What's him on?
AKA the man with the drink that looks so refreshing.
Every time, dude.
Look at it.
How many LaCroix are in there?
Two. Okay. Two full LaCroix.
Fair. All out.
Still room for others.
I appreciate that you come with a copious amount of liquid and Nick loves to start it with an empty glass.
I already peed once.
Yeah.
During the podcast.
Sure.
I was like, oh, I'll get out there. No, I should pee.
Yeah.
I just gotta stop drinking so much liquid.
Hey man, live your dream. Here's the thing I'm in. I'm in what I like to call right now a tailspin.
Okay.
When it comes to clothing. Because
not the best show.
I hate clothes shopping, period. Fucking hate it. Stitch Fix when I used to do that.
Yeah.
I just need to sign up for that again, I guess. But I got these pants for it, I loved it. I got those red pants, everybody loved it. I got new jeans,
everybody loved it.
Right?
Oh,
no,
I loved your red.
It
red
was a big deal.
Pants?
You were all like, oh my god, why
the
are you
burgundy corduroy pants were a fucking moment.
Right, yeah,
they were
exactly.
A moment.
And the problem is now my big fat chunk thighs are rubbing holes out in all
Get
of them.
Me see
I'm
it.
Getting these crouch the crouch. So I'm starting
it.
To just retire
Ew.
These pants, you know what I mean?
You gotta do
but
it.
I'm not bringing new pants in. So the rotation is just getting lower and lower. I'm down to one pair of jeans and they don't breathe.
Oh, no.
You know how hot I am in general. I can't be wearing that. But I'll be goddamned if I'm going to go jean shopping. And then I need to probably just order sign up again, but then do I need to resize or something? You know what I mean?
I mean, you're a Levi's guy. Just order the same Levi's.
But they change them all the time. Remember that?
I don't like that, shit. I hate that.
It was when I was back in Chicago, you bring up the Converse. Remember, I had for a long time multiple pairs of different kinds of Converse.
Yeah, you had red ones.
And then I started burning those out, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it ride. And I got down to the final pair of Converse, and they were falling apart.
What size are you?
11.
Perfect. I'm going to gift you a pair of Converse.
Thanks. Where'd you come? Where did they come
the
from?
The ones I bought for the Halloween thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, maybe I'll wear these one day.
When you're going to ask Greg.
Fucking Converse. Yeah.
That was amazing.
I mean, size 11.
So I did the thing. I was like, I'm in Chicago. Me and mom have pretty much a full day before we're going to dinner with some family members. Got to burn time. Obviously going to Portillo's, that eats up a little bit of time. Great. What else are we going to do? And so we were out and about, and it was, I need Converse. And then she's like, let's go to Woodfield Mall, which is a huge mall. And I was like, I'd rather jerk the wheel right now, flip this car, and go to the hospital. You know what I mean? I'll do anything to not go to the fucking mall.
Why not? I love malls, man. Why
I have to be
like
in a
them?
Mood, and I was not in the mood. So I was like, you know what? Dick's Sporting Goods. Google that. They sure. have Converse. Great. We drive up to this Dick's. And of course, I'm from San Francisco now.
Yeah.
Right? Born and raised in Chicago, but it's been actually my birthday, April 27th, coming up quick. Everybody get your gifts in the mail. That'll mark 18 years away from home. Wow. I lived at home 18 years, and then I've been gone for 18 years, right?
That's insane.
Not all in San Francisco, obviously. But I don't count. So we drive up to this gigantic Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
We go in there. I'm immediately just
you said gigantic
surrounded dick. This gigantic Dick's. I'm inside this giant Dick. And like I'm looking around, right? And there's shoes in every direction. I finally hone in on the back. I walk for what seems like miles past all this Cubs and Sox gear. Get over there. I'm like, I'm looking around. Don't see them up anywhere. I see all these sorts of trendy shoes. Shoes that you pump up. Shoes that pump you up. They give you blowjobs. They eat your sandwiches.
Shoes are dumb.
Finally, there's these two people there, and I'm like, they work there. I'm like, hey, and like, oh, hey. I'm like, I need Converse. Do you still sell Converse here? And they're like, oh, sorry, no, we only carry those in the big stores. And I was like, how much bigger can this fucking store get right now?
Jesus.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the big. This store would engulf anything in San Francisco, yeah. And you're telling me there's one bigger than this.
No, you see,
but what happened is, I was like, all right, mom, let's go. She's like, cool. Do you want to go to Wood? I'm like, no, that was it. And as we were walking out, I opened my phone, ordered two pair off Amazon. I'm like, I'm done. I try to throw the bucks to the mom and grop shops, and they spit back in my face.
Yeah. Dicks.
I try to throw money at these dicks, they spit
mom
in my face.
Mom and grop shops, Dick's Sporting Goods.
I understand. I sympathize with you, man. I'm the opposite, though. Like, I love shopping. I love malls. I like to just, like, if you tell me, Nick, we're going to go just spend the day in the mall and not buy anything, we're just going to look at a bunch of stuff and just rationalize not buying it.
Sure.
I'm your man. I'll go with you. We'll get two, three stops at the Starbucks. Kudos. Like, shout out to the malls that have multiple Starbucks sure. or multiple coffee shops at mm-hmm. each end.
Sure.
So I can ping pong back and forth between caffeinated beverages.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Middle of last year, maybe, I don't know, Jen and I had gone back to Chicago, and it was a conversation of, well, we have a day to kill. You know, what's going on? And the night before, I think my mom's husband had mentioned, oh, yeah, like, you know, like Stratford Square Mall, the mall I grew up on, totally going under, dying. I think Poe was there, too. He's like, oh, it's bad or whatever. And I was like, oh, let's go see this train wreck. And like that was like an event of like, sure. let me walk you around, show you around the mall.
Oh, yeah.
This is where, you know, Poe used to arrest kids when he was security.
Oh, yeah.
This is where we got tricked by a fake $10 bill. Like there was a bunch of stories involved with it, right?
Great
but
stories,
then it was
apparently.
Also like, here's a bunch of just dead zones. And I'm like, this is cool. We ended, you know, we went to they had a nice little arcade there. We played some games there.
Yeah.
Then we ended up at this puppy mill shop upstairs. I was like, damn, there was a wiener dog there. It was close.
Yeah.
There's conversations about like, can this thing get on a plane? Like, well, you know what I mean? Like, it's got like, you know, the restrictions. Like, all right, well, we're fine.
Yeah, you might want to buy one local.
Yeah, well, it was like long hair too. It wasn't like my jam, but Jen was super into it. And like, I'm never going to stop. Like, I'm never going to stop getting a miniature wiener dog when I see one. You know what I mean?
They're cute. Just keep buying them all.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Pokemon.
Yeah, got to catch them all. Got to buy them all. And one day, 101 Dalmatians.
I got it.
Get a coat.
Cut them all up, make a coat.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Got those
exactly.
little fuckers.
Yeah. like trout on a shrimp. Oh, man. We have fun here.
We do.
You know
have
what I mean?
Fun
talking
here.
About eviscerating dogs and making them
gotta
into coats. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Andy's dead. Sorry to break it to you, but it's like a Band-Aid. It's easier that way. Each and every week, three now best friends gather on this table, each coming to talk about whatever they want to talk about. Andy's not really dead, but if you want to send him flowers, go ahead. Joey, what's your address?
He'll die one day, right? This is your prediction.
Great point. We are future-proofing this episode. Yeah. Andy Cortez dead. His guitar amp fell on him.
Yeah, wow. It did.
What
very
a way to go.
Very small amp.
He's a very small man.
It must have. I don't know why it was up high, because normally amps on the ground. So the fact that they put it up.
But he was like playing a Slayer show, you know, so it was like really big.
Yeah,
exactly, exactly.
God bless Andy. I'm surprised he's the only one of us that's sick.
Because we'll talk about that in a second.
Threading the fucking needle.
Oh, here we go. If you didn't know, of course, you can get this show early over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over there, you can get it without any ads as an MP3 and a video early. You can watch it live early. If you don't have any bucks to toss our way, though, it's no big deal. You can head over to youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every Friday to get the episode there with ads. And if you don't like the ads, like I said, go to Patreon. If you don't like that, I can't help you. I've done everything I can. Housekeeping for you. Guess what, everybody? We just did the Kinda Funny World Tour in New York. I have a feeling we're going to talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
So table your discussion there. It was huge. The question is, Vancouver, can you do better? New York
doubt it.
Outdid Kansas City. Can you, Vancouver, outdo New York when we come to you at the Library Square Public House May 4th? That's right. We finally have a location for Vancouver. Library Square Public House May 4th. You can get all the details at kindoffunny.com/events. Yay. Also, breaking news.
Breaking news. Huge news, some
would
say.
We are going to RTX once again.
Not
but
news,
when I
Greg,
say
that
we.
That doesn't sound like news at
that
all.
Doesn't sound, we always go to RTX, but what's crazy is we are all going to RTX.
All of us. Are even you telling me that Cool Greg's going to RTX?
I think so.
Are you telling me that Joey's going to RTX?
I think so.
Are you telling me that Kevin's going to RTX?
Sadly, yes.
Are you telling me that Barrett is going to RTX?
Yes, the boss
we are
baby.
All going to the RTX. Boss, wow.
If Andy is healthy and undead, he will be there as well. You know what I mean?
What an exciting time. This is huge. This is the first event we are ever doing where it's all of us outside of San Francisco with the exception of E3 last year. And Barrett wasn't even part of that then.
No,
this is the first time the entire crew with Barrett is going to be in one place.
It's exciting. It's cool.
I can't wait to hang out with Barrett. Honestly,
it'll be nice to see him. I keep inviting him to the Kinda Funny meet and greets. He refuses to come to any of them.
It'd be great. Yeah. I mean, he comes to work. I'm like, whoa, Barrett. It's cool. I saw him eat a piece of gum earlier today.
Yeah, was it cool?
Enthralling.
Yeah.
Enthralling. Joey put headphones on because I think Kevin needed to sneak out for a break.
Yeah.
Joey put headphones on and looked over and saw that I was looking right at her. And she gave me a look of like, what's he going to fucking do?
What'd you do?
Is he going to? I was thinking about having all of us scream into the mic real quick, but I don't know if that's good podcasting material.
Who cares?
You want to do it?
Cut me in.
One, two, three. Was that good, Joe?
Joe, did that hurt?
That was bad for me. And I'm not, I don't even have headphones on. I'm just here.
Is this on? That was really great.
Cool. Okay, good. We're just making the good content.
Thank you.
If you were falling asleep at the wheel, I might have saved your life right there. You know what I mean?
Watch out for the cops. Come snatch your crops.
What? Thank you to Patreon producers DJ Kento, James Davis, Kieran O'Donnell, Sam Davis, Mike McLaughlin. Today we're brought to you by ExpressVPN and Zebit, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show. Tim Geddes?
Yes.
This past weekend, we went to New York City.
New York City, the big city, the big apple.
The big city,
the city
they
that
it.
Never sleeps.
Yeah, exactly.
They call it Big City.
No.
They call it
the Big Apple.
No. Big Apple, City Never Sleeps, sure.
City Never Sleeps.
No, no.
The Big City?
The Big City.
Big City.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Big City.
Apple. I can't
big
tell city, if you're fucking city with me. No, he's fucking with me. I'm starting to try. He started smiling. Now, you can never tell sometimes with this kid. You know what I mean?
It's like Toyota. When I said that, everybody believed me that I said it was a cultural thing.
Fucking Toyota? What was that?
It was on the show.
I was trying to say, everyone was like, it's Toyota. And I'm like, no, Toyota. But like, no, culturally, it's actually Toyota. And you all motherfucking
double down. Double down.
We went to New York City. We did the Kinda Funny World Tour. We hung out there Friday through Monday morning. Incredibly early Monday
Very
morning.
Early Monday morning.
Went
yeah.
to WrestleMania and all that jazz. I didn't see you the entire weekend.
I didn't see
I
you
didn't
the
talk
entire
to you at all.
Weekend.
For some reason, Joey thought it'd be a good idea to not put you and I in the same Airbnb, which worked out well for the party house because the party house is awesome.
Burn blue.
But I don't know. Talk to me about the World Tour experience for you.
Oh my God, it was fantastic. What a turnout. Let's start there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's going to be a lot to talk about. The meet and greet itself.
Yeah.
We're talking about 600 people.
Is that what you're putting at?
I would say.
Every
yeah.
time we say this, the number keeps going up.
Andrea asked me today, and I was like, there's legitimately no way for me to tell you. Because it was landlocked the entire time of standing room only, but people were coming and going, and then there was a line down the block.
Well, dude, that's the thing. Is like, I mean, there was a minimum of 500. Like, okay. I'm saying 600 because I do think it was on the closer end of 600. Arizona, over 200, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Kansas City over 300. This I definitely think was like much more than that. Like much more. Okay. Almost double, some would say.
Double it.
Fair.
Yeah. Ton of people. And the reason I say that is, yeah, like we can kind of we've done this so many times. We can gauge like I feel like every interaction averages out to be about the same. Some are quicker, some are a little longer, but overall they all average out, right? We know what it means to get through 50 people compared to 100 people.
Sure.
Extrapolate from that. We were locked the entire time. Like, yeah. We had lines the entire time.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like there couldn't have been less than a certain amount of people because the meet and greet was only from 3 to 6.
Yeah.
Right? But we ended up staying until, what, 8?
Almost 8, yeah.
Yeah, like it was insane. Now, I will say, not all of us were there the entire time. Because some of us made some mistakes. You know what I mean?
Sure. Oh, you mean some of us didn't get there on time?
Me and Gia were like, hey, we're going to be there. It's going to be awesome. And so we left and like we were like on the way there and we're like, we're going to be early. This is, I'm going to be there. It's going to be awesome. I was getting texts from all you guys saying you're all going to be late because of traffic
reasons. I left thinking, man, I'm going to have time to go to the store, the Duane Reade next door, get the markers we need for these meet and greets all the time. Perfect. And then New York traffic fucked me.
I'm sitting here, but like we planned around the New York traffic. We're just like, we're, this is going to be fucking awesome. So I was like, I got the markers. I'm texting the group. I got the markers. I'll be there. Like, just come. It's going to be fun. And I was so close to the venue at this point, or so I thought. And I had a little issue going on. All right. I don't want to get too graphic here.
Rumbly tumbly.
But I got a little rumbly tumbly. And I was just like, I need something needs to happen right now. Went to a Starbucks bathroom close. Went to another Starbucks bathroom close. So I was like, let's just walk to that bar over here. I'm just going to run in and see what's up. So I get to that bar and I'm like, oh shit, this is it.
Meet and greet
bar. Like, this is the venue. And I was trying to avoid
Ease
bar and restaurant. I was trying to avoid it. Because I was like, I don't want to go in and the first thing I do be like,
hey guys, I'm going to shit my pants.
I'm going to shit my pants. I'm going to go and then, you know, see what happens.
Right.
So I was like, I'm going to go somewhere else then come in. So I realized, well, fuck it. I'm here. This is my only option.
Sure, yeah.
So I run in and I saw a group of best friends outside and I saw the shirts. You know what I mean? So I'm like, those are my people. And I'm about to do the what's up everybody thing because like I saw a bunch of people. I'm very happy I didn't because immediately one of the best friends comes up to me and goes, we're at the wrong place. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, there's another East Bar. Not close to here.
No.
We all fucked up. And I'm like, well, at least I'm not alone. I need to go poop.
Yeah, there, so was, I went. There was one in Midtown, I think, which is the one that you went to. And there was one like Uptown.
So that all happened. And, you know, things got done. And I walk out. And there was a group of about 10 of us. And we're like, well, we fucked up. And I was like, here I was thinking. I wasn't talking a lot of shit, but I was thinking a lot of shit about you guys. You know what I mean? I was
sure.
Like, I am definitely superior to them. I am better than all of them.
Yeah, naturally.
This is awesome.
That helps.
And then I realized I'm worse than all of them, including Nick. And that was the biggest insult is you were the first one.
Oh, I was there. So I was wandering around the city by myself for a very, very long time. I had wandered. That's what I like to do when I go to cities. I like to just pick a direction and go. Found a lovely little coffee shop where the guy was so hipster that I was like, I immediately wanted him to like me, the guy behind the counter.
Sure. And he had the same haircut as you.
He was not. No, he had like a man bun ponytail thing.
Sure.
Big beard, dolphins on his shirt.
Nice.
And I was like, that's a fucking cool shirt, man. Can we be friends? And he was like,
no.
Sir, just buy your coffee.
It's New York. We don't have time for friends.
They don't want us at all. So I had walked around. And I was like, I'm a little too far out now to walk back to the place. So I'm just going to hop in an Uber. And I was looking, it was like 40 minutes, but I had an hour. I was like, oh, I'll get there like 20 minutes early. Uber got there in like 25 minutes.
Nice.
So I posted up at a Starbucks and then shout out to the best friend that walked by and did a double take where he was like, I saw you. And then I saw the Starbucks. And I'm like, no, he can't. It's not.
Two on brand. Like,
two on brand. It's two on the goddamn nose for Nick. And then he's like, no, I realized you were there. I was just sitting in the window of a Starbucks.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's so weird. So we came in and we walked over together. And
you're first.
Solid 15 minutes early, I will say. To the point where people were making a joke about it of like, wow, it's so cool how responsible you are. And how you must just like
it's
us
funny because you saw
more.
The text we were sending where I was like, can somebody get markers from the marker store next door?
No, I was too busy entertaining people at that point because I'd already gotten involved with the best friend. He came over and said, what's up? So I was just bonding.
You don't think the best friend would have walked to the Duane Reade with you next door and bought the markers with you?
Oh, yeah, no, I can't ask people to do that. That's too much. I already asked people to give me their time and in some instances their money on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Now, here's the thing. I'm inclined, of course, to talk a lot of shit on Nick and fight this point, right?
Sure.
He did beat us there. He did send the photo immediately to the group thread to make fun of everybody. But where he redeems himself is that I got there not too much longer after that. Got there immediately. Again, this is before the leaving line outside had really formed, but there was already overflow into the sidewalk. And so I got stopped immediately. I started mingling. I'm eating babies. I'm fucking shaking kids' hands. Catching I'm chilling out. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm talking to people. And Nick let it go on for a good 10 minutes before he said, hey, everybody, stop. Greg, go inside. You're going to get sunburned. Because I could feel my skin starting to go, but there was nothing I could do. Oh. It was obnoxiously hot all of a sudden. It's, you know, it's the first day of spring out there. Everybody's scantily clad running around New York City.
Oh, my God. The day before, freezing, raining. I had a hoodie on and a jacket. That day, the most beautiful day you've ever seen on the planet.
Greg, I have a similar story.
Sure.
With a different ending, surprisingly. Because you ended up standing outside the entire time. Right.
No.
You were back and forth at least. You ended up in the park. So you spent
the park's a different thing. Yeah. But
outside.
That was
Nick and Andy were like mainly outside doing their thing. I was holding down the inside from like the back.
You went the very back. And they foolishly, or not foolishly, naively had said, hey, Kind of Funny's got this section. And then we took over the entire bar.
We took over the entire bar.
We're like the gremlins in Gremlins when they take over the bar. We are everywhere flashing.
They ended up giving me a fucking stanchion, which made me feel really cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gio's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I love this. But yeah, so I'm all the way in the fucking back. I leave this thing. I was inside the entire time.
Yeah.
I was not outside for a bit, not even a fucking bit, until it was like it was nighttime. Then I went to the park and I'm all good. At some point the next day, Joey looks at me and goes, did you get sunburned? I'm like, yes, Joey, I did.
Wow.
From the inside of a building. How?
We all know this. Your skin, even exposed to light for a second, gets sunburned.
These lights burn it.
By the way, so upsetting. I thought ahead because I got there and scoped it out early. Yeah. Well, someone said probably too early. But
again, seems like you scoped it out. You feel like you could have gone to the marker store.
Then I went to the Starbucks.
Wow.
Then I came back.
Did you pass the Duane Reade I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, multiple Duane Reades. Okay. I probably passed like a marker store too.
They're just giving them away.
He says, hey, man, we have a surplus
of Sharpies. We'll pay you to take them.
I don't want them. Got there and I was like, I started talking to people outside. Then I smartly realized, I'm like, okay, I like the draft that's coming in, but I don't want to be too close. So I posted up right where the indoors met the outdoors.
Yeah, yeah.
Stood back. Now all my pictures are amazing because we were getting the ambient light from outside. Yeah. I was getting a little bit of a breeze, but then I made everyone else stand outside instead of me.
Sure.
Andy, on the other hand, I was like, Andy, you got to come inside. And he was like, I'm good.
He's like, no, mijo, this is where I'm meant to be.
Yeah. Andy doesn't believe in lines. He just has everyone mob around him and he holds little group sessions for a second, like little think tanks, and then lets him go.
I love weird. How all of us have different styles when it comes to this. And it's like, we'll hear little bits because we don't really get to interact
with these things
at all. But yeah, I heard about Andy not having the lines. He just kind of has a group. And then one thing I did hear that I kind of fucking loved is someone came up to me like with a chair being like, hey man, you've been standing a long time. Do you want to sit? And I was like, no, I want to stand and like keep the energy up. And like a big group starts cracking up. And I was like, what's up? They're like, man, you're so different than Nick. Nick just wants to just sit there and be as comfy. Like, you come to me. It's like, Nick's just leaning so that he's getting the perfect breeze. We're all out in the sun. And I'm just like, I love, because I know it. I can see your face. In my head, I saw you doing this. And I'm just like, I hate Nick so goddamn much.
Bless you. It's one of those things where.
You got it. Beat it.
If I could have figured out a not rude way. To ask the person that was at the bar to get up so I could sit down, I would have totally done that. Because perfect world scenario for me, and this is a lesson learned, I sit at the bar with my back to the bartender, and then when I want a Diet Coke, I just turn around and go, could I get one more Diet Coke? And they bring it to me, and then I turn back around and say, I'm ready to receive you now. To whoever's in front of me.
That's perfect. That is a good world.
Why do you need me to stand? You don't need me to stand.
Now, here's the thing is, I'm probably
taller if I sit down on the stool.
I'm not, you know. There's been a lot of shade thrown my way about being hipster today, all right? Because of this coffee
mug. You're also not wearing socks. That's the most hipster-ass fucking thing I've ever seen.
I'm wearing socks.
What, are you wearing pegs? You wearing socks?
I'm wearing my normal crew cut socks. But the problem is that when I wear these pants, they should have dress socks. But the problem is, after the fucking 9-hour meet and greet, Jen marched me through Central Park for an hour. And I was like, I have blisters on my feet. So I need to wear the comfy socks, even though the comfy socks don't cover this. This is a real problem. It shouldn't be made fun of, Nick. Anyways, this thermos, all right, it has a screw top that locks shut. That's why I bought it. Not the hipster aspect. I just didn't want to spill it on the bus anymore.
Yeah, but it's so hip you're not even using the screw top thing.
Well, why would I? I don't want it to be too hot. That's for transporting the coffee from home to here.
Millennial hipsters.
Anyways, I want you to know that I am a blue collar kind of guy. I fixed two toilets at this meet and greet, all right, where I walked in to pee in one of them, and I peed and hit the handle, nothing happened. And I knew the sound, I'm like, I got this, took the top off, went in, you know, touch anything dirty there, took the top off, went in, reattached the thing, hit the plunger, it worked great.
This sounds like the least Greg Miller.
Then hours later, I try to go into the other bathroom, and somebody's like, whoa, hold on, the toilet's clogged. And I'm like, well, has anybody plunged it? And they're like, no. And I looked in and there was no plunger. And at this time, somebody came out of the other bathroom. I'm like, yo, is there a plunger in there? And they said, yeah. And they gave me the plunger and I went in there and plunged it. And some kids have video of me doing this.
Somebody showed me the video after the
I have not seen these videos on the internet. As if KFAF for Streamies is running another smear campaign against me to let people know I'm not a down-to-earth blue-collar guy who will unclog a toilet at his own meter.
You're totally. I mean, you're the son of a crane operator. Number one crane operator.
Greg Miller in Chicago.
I'll say this. Kudos to you. Because I also saw that toilet that was very clogged to the point where I'm like, I want, if someone else pees in this, it's going to overflow.
Yeah.
But I really had to pee.
Oh, God.
So I did it. I just peed in that thing. threaded the needle, yeah. made the fishbowl a little bit bigger, Ooh-wee. And got to a point where I'm like, oh, that was so close to overflowing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm happy to report I was not the person that overflowed it.
Nobody overflowed it.
No.
I got in there just after you, apparently. And I fixed your mess as usual.
A lot of urine.
Yeah?
A lot of DNA. You ever stop and think, that's a lot of DNA in there. No. We could frame a lot of people for murder with that pee that's in there. A lot of people.
Kevin, are you about to say there's no DNA in there?
Right?
I thought there was. I thought that was an urban legend.
No, I don't think there's DNA in urine, because urine is sterile. So
it's not sterile.
I think that's the urban legend.
I'll look into it.
Thank you. Also, Kevin, at some point, can you go to my Twitter and bring up the 4 photos I had from the meet and greet of the giant, I had to take 4 selfies to make it all fit. But no hurry on that. Find out about urine first.
That was really cool, by the way.
Yeah. I think it speaks to how big it is that every time we do this, I like to take a giant group selfie, and there was literally no way to do it this bar that I had to go do a million different ways to do it.
Makes sense.
Did you have criers?
Yeah.
I had two, and it's been a while since I had real big cry sessions. I had 2 real big cry sessions here. And for the record, at the start of this, not judging you for crying. It was just like it hadn't happened in a while. And there was a guy who got up to the front of the line with me. Thanks, Kevin. Can you show this people while we talk? There was a guy at the front who lost it. And then there was a woman who I passed when I was going back in from maybe the selfie. She started to break. And I was like, oh, man, she'll get it together. And then by the time she got to the front of my line, just destroyed. And then I got to talk to her. And I'm like, it's okay. She's like, I know, it's okay. And we were fine. Everything's great. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
Yeah, there was a couple of crying situations that I ran into. And you're right, where it's like, this is totally cool. Live your life. Mm-hmm. Be fine. But I will say, there was one girl that took a little too far. Just a little too far.
Uh-oh.
And it's because she wasn't crying for me.
She cried for Gia?
For Gia Harris.
That's awesome.
Fucking sees Gia and bursts into tears. And I'm just like, no, we can't let this happen. This can't be a thing. Mm-mm. This needs to be about me. Okay? Gia, you know what I mean? We don't share everything now. Do we, Nick? I don't know how that is. That
I don't know. We're reading about urine now. Are we sharing wives?
No, that's not what's happening. No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Gia, the Gettys relationship over here, the soon to be Mr. and Mrs. Gettys, are sharing fame, I guess.
Oh, I'll say this. I love you. I think you're a phenomenal mm-hmm. creator, a dear friend, and a great colleague and business partner. Gia is better than you in every single way. She deserves to be way more popular than you. And it's going to happen one day.
It will.
So just let it happen, you know, and just sell her. That's all I'm saying.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, monetize it.
So over here, what we got on Google is urine, however, has not been heavily studied as a potential source of DNA for forensic identification purposes. Urine is not considered an ideal source of DNA due to the low concentration of nucleated cells present in human urine. The nucleated cells found in urine are typically white blood cells. Blah, blah. So it's not ideal, but it sounds like it could work.
Now, can you Google if it's sterile or not? Because I want to know the answer to this, because I like to, you know.
You like to pee on things.
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, I do. I pee all the place. I always thought from this point, like before this, I was like, my pee is just cleaning everything because it's sterile.
Is urine sterile? Urine is not sterile. Even before it comes out of you and gets contaminated by your skin. Here's the thing. This you might think, man, this urine talk and Nick licking pee off the ground, these are weird things to talk about right now.
Sure.
They actually play into the meet and greet story pretty closely.
Someone licked pee off the ground of the meet and greet?
No, what happened is we blew past 6 p.m. And I guess, I don't have a great read on this because, again, I've separated from everybody and never didn't talk to many people. Joey, were we kicked out? What happened? They were like, get out?
No, we got to a point where we were cannibalizing the entire bar.
Sure,
and
as we do.
Like, nobody else can order anything, and you guys aren't really ordering anything. So now that your reservation is over, can you please leave so people can order things?
Yeah, we're like absolutely.
And I totally.
4
get
hours
that.
Later, we left.
Absolutely. So yes, continue.
So then the plan was, Greg, you have the longest line still. If we evacuate you, we'll evacuate a lot of people out of this bar.
Yeah, that was a smart
so we're
plan.
Gonna take you to a park near the bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh great, there's a park next door to the bar. This is perfect. When I need to fuck back off, I can get back off over here.
Yeah,
and then we started walking. And I discovered, no, this park is not near the bar. It's close, don't get me wrong.
It's like 2 blocks from the bar.
It was like two blocks up, 3 blocks down. And then down a giant set of stairs to the park, to the riverside.
It looked like the
place. Am I wrong?
But I didn't require you guys to go that far.
It looked like the kind of place you take someone to kill them.
No, it didn't look that bad.
At night it did.
At night, sure. Well, that's just a park.
It was scary.
A park at night always looks like you're going to fucking die in it.
Sure. I thought I was gonna die.
So I get down there. The line comes with me. There's giant. There's also photos of that up on my Twitter if you want to find them, Kev.
Yeah.
But the line comes with me over there. We get down there and I look out and I'm like, man, this is a really long line. And I'm like, I already kind of have to pee because I've drank 19 beers already at this thing.
There it was.
Bless you. You got it. Good. That's a pre-show sneeze that finally came through. I'm gonna. Kevin, keep scrolling. Keep scrolling. One more. Right. You saw it. Oh, up. Sorry. Well, whatever. Any of the outdoor photos. So this is me. Yeah, Kevin, that's me leading the line down there. Mike with me. Scroll down. And then one more down. That's the line as we were like, well, this is a new thing for us. And the problem was I couldn't clear the line because then people started coming from meeting you guys at the bar. They'd come down and get in my line.
Yeah.
And so I was like, shit, I'm going to have to pee.
Yeah.
And it keeps going. And not only that now, I'm racing the sun as well. The sun's starting to set. Starting to get cold. I'm like, fuck, it's going to get dark. I wasn't even worried. Well, yeah, I sent Mike back for my sweatshirt, actually. But yeah, it's all happening. And so I gave a shout out to I think, Kyle Stevenson at this point. I'm like, what's up with like a bathroom around here? He's like, I'll check out. He ran away. Came back like 30 minutes. He's like, there's no bathroom close to here. I'm like, fuck. All right. So we started. And then finally I was like, all right, guys, I got to pee. We got to make this happen. And everybody's like, just pee on a tree. Just pee in the bushes. I'm like, no, I will not do that. You will take photos of that. No, we won't show your dick on the internet. I'm like, 100%. No, it's not even showing my dick on the internet. It's just a photo that gets retweeted by the wrong person that then it's Greg Miller pees in public. And yeah. Like, it's a huge fucking thing.
Now you're a fucking pedophile.
Then I got PETA, but for the plants coming after me and they're all pissed off about it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, here we go. So I did the best I could. I hung in there. At one point I was like, the sun's about to go down. It's already setting. Vampires are getting set to come out. I'm like, let's just move into high speed mode where it happens at every meet and greet, which we got to figure out. Well, how we do this from here on out, by the way, we need to figure out meet and greets for a giant scale of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I keep saying this. Big. For anyone was there, of which there were many of you, if you have any feedback that you think that like we can make these things better, please let us know. You can tweet at me at Tim Geddes. I want to personally know because I want this to be as smooth a situation.
Yeah, but I mean, so
we
hold on.
We talked about more ideas.
I want to talk about the. We'll talk about the ideas as a group in 1 second. So eventually, I'm like, "Fuck! All right, speed round. Do. We barely make a dent with the speed round. I'm like, "All right, all bets are off. I have to pee. We have to go." And we started walking back towards the bar. Got all the way up there, and then I saw the Starbucks. I'm like, "This is even better. I don't have to go back in the bar, piss them off. I'll pee in the Starbucks. Everybody, wait." Go into the Starbucks, open the door, start walking back towards the bathroom. And as I get in earshot, there's another guy asking about the bathroom. And he goes and gets in the door first. And then I see he has a giant duffel bag. And I'm like, fuck.
This guy's showering in there.
And sure enough, the dude spent like 15 fucking minutes in there. So I sat down in just immense pain. And then a couple other best friends came in like, I got to pee too. I'm like, all right, cool. So we just lined up and they're trying to talk to me. And I'm like, I can't even talk to you right now. Like, I can't even put together coherent thoughts. Wow. I'm so fucking angry at this. And it was to the point, I was talking about it today on Games Daily, the point where that I had sat down and like the bar is across the street still. I could go to the bar, but I knew that if I was getting up, I was only going to be able to do this kind of walk.
Yeah.
You ever do that where you got to pee so bad, you're hunched over the entire
time?
You're
making me want to pee right now.
And so it was just nothing. I had to wait it out. And I waited it out, got the pee out, then came back out. And then a lot of people were like, I'm not fucking waiting out of the side of Starbucks while this man pees. They had fucked off. And so we were down to a number of the final few, did the photos, did everything, and then went over and got Jen. But I was done. That was a long meet and greet. That was an extensive meet and greet. Great meet and greet. I'm not taking away from it.
Fantastic.
You guys are fucking insane.
It just takes it out of you, man.
Totally.
It hits a point where you're just like, I can't stand anymore.
And that was the thing too, where you guys are like, we're going out to this. And I'm like, I need to get away from everybody right now. So I'm just going to hang out with Jen, who will walk me through Central Park at night for some reason. And then we'll go to a martini bar that was really cool. Really cool.
So I'm not going to do the cheap, easy thing to do. I'm actually going to do the thing that's harder on my body.
Well, I didn't see my wife in 2 weeks, so it was definitely, and I just ignored her for an entire night for a meet and greet. So it was whatever she wanted to do. So she wanted to walk. We're going to walk. Great, babe. Going to give me blisters? No big deal. Go to this martini bar, then go get a slice of pizza. Perfect.
That sounded good. Yeah, we were we banged out after that. Drucker had come by, and so it was awesome. We walked down like a few blocks to like a taqueria. I want to say it had more of a Caribbean flair to it. It was, you know what I mean? It was like, it wasn't traditional Mexican. It was really fucking good.
It was
good.
Amazing. I don't know what it was.
And they had like spicy margaritas. I may or may not have had four of them. It was great. We got caught up with Drucker a little bit. Sure. He talked about his job at Samantha Bee.
Yeah.
He's loving life. It's good, man. He lived in that neighborhood too. So I was like, oh, that's cool. Your neighborhood's so fucking cool. And like, it's really cool. Anyway, it was a lovely night. We all missed you though. I was like, Joey, is Greg still alive? And she's like, I think so. And I'm like, good enough for me.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I blew by you guys at the park when you're like, oh, man, this is fun. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm dying. Goodbye.
Yeah, I mean,
I got to go do something.
I mean, I don't. The issue is like I don't know how to solve that because we're just going to have more and more people come.
That's the
and
problem.
You don't want to turn people away.
No.
But we do have to at some point put some level of limit on our time with it because it's just a matter of energy. Like at a certain point, you just can't talk anymore. You can't like stand anymore. You have to like it's just. Your body just goes, hey, I'm going to just go ahead and shut down on you. I didn't hit that point because I'm awesome. But there were multiple times, twice, where I had to pee, where I had like just the person that was in front of me that was about to talk to me. I was like, hey. And I handed him the Starbucks cup. And I was like, turn around and talk to the rest of these people like you're me. I'll be back in 10 minutes because I got to go pee and there's probably a line. And people understand that.
Oh, people understood everything. Like that's even the people like you have to understand. I've seen a few tweets and Reddit posts about it. Like there were people who waited in my line for more than 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then by the time they got there, we were too speed round where I'm like, I literally took photos of everybody. I'm like, do you have, and I would be like, if you have something to say to me, say it. Like, cause so many people had heartfelt messages and so many people were like, oh no, man, just a fan. I'm like, awesome. Thank you for understanding. Great. And then there were the people who were like, well, yeah, you did this or got me through that. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. Blah, blah, blah. Like people get it. I just feel like we're walking a fine line on how to do this, especially as we get bigger and more popular and we bring in more best friends, right? In a perfect world, right? Like, I love sitting at a table, talking to people, just having a conversation, right? That we're long past those days for these meet and greets. So it becomes, what do we do where it's not completely impersonal? Because I do get that a lot, too, on comments and then people talking to us at the meet and greet, right? Of like, this is crazy. I didn't think it would be like this. I didn't think it would be that I get to just talk to you. I thought it would be, hey, backdrop, photo, handshake, cool, thanks for being a fan, and you move on. And that sounds impersonal, but it at least gets everybody there and has the same expectation. Because the people who talked to me the first 3 hours of the meet and greet got me being able to talk to them and them being able to talk to me. And so many were great of, I don't want to hold up all your time. I want to tell you this story. I want to say this. I want a photo. Great. Bah. And then, but then you have to understand the people on the second 3 hours that did at the end just get, all right, cool. This is happening. I got to go. Or we're walking over here. Blah, blah, blah. And it's not the same experience for everybody.
Well, I think those people, first off, made the smart choice of coming to me first so they could spend time with me. You were just an afterthought to them, clearly.
It just feels like your line was done so much quicker than mine.
I'm fast, man. Again, the efficiency of sitting down.
You know what I mean?
Also, shout out to Jorge, I think was his name, because I kept making him get me ice. He was like, dude, I'm sitting here trying to have a cocktail. I was like, ask the bartender to give me a cup of ice. Because people kept bringing me Red Bulls and Diet Cokes. And I was like, I'll just keep filling this bad motherfucker up. No, I mean, I like that vibe too. And I don't know how to solve for it because it's obviously going to be a lot more efficient if we are all, like, if all four of us are sitting together at a table. And people can come up and talk to us.
Yeah,
I don't know that it is though, because like we've done that at E3, and that lasted forever. Like the only way that would be more efficient is if we kind of did both the systems where it was we are all separate, but it is that like turnaround thing. That's the only way to get through everybody.
No, but I mean like, that's not mathematically possible, right? Because then every person's spending, instead of 5 minutes with the four of us, they're spending 5 minutes with us each individually, which is 20 minutes of time.
But it's like whenever they do it with each of us, each person, it's not five. Usually it's like, let's say one, then it becomes five, right? I feel like immediately that stuff, when it's the group situation, every single person takes longer, which means people are in line a lot longer
maybe
to see anybody.
Yeah. The things I've kicked around trying to figure it, wrap the head around, right, would be moving to a free Evite system where it is that we cap it at, it's 200 people at these things, right, and we do what we already do, and it is that at 6 we have to leave, like, so we need everybody on the same page that, like, you know, an hour to go, we do all right, we're moving to speed round of like we're moving blah blah. I've thought about, like, this sounds really weird, and again, this is, we want your feedback please on this episode, on Patreon, on the subreddit, on anywhere you can give us feedback, let us know. I thought about like having, and this sounds weird, but stick with me, like a chess clock or something where it would be like, cool, you have 60 seconds to hang out and or whatever it is, 2 minutes, whatever we want to set as a reasonable thing to hit. That way it's just,
it's as fair as possible.
Exactly.
There's give everyone no the best rule. Situation.
And the way I have seen, and I understand, is that everything's good. And this is not me throwing mud at anybody. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's good. They're moving fast. I was like in the beginning of this New York one, I was like, man, we're fucking moving and people are very much blah, blah, blah. But then it'll be that one person takes longer. So then the person behind them, I want to take longer. And then it's like, you start dominoing up that way of like, well, the guy before me took this much time, so I'm going to take this much time. And I get that. I totally do. But then it does do that domino effect that then the people who are at the end of the line get fucked over in the end because they don't get the experience that people in the front got. Now, granted, there's an argument of first come, first serve, and da, 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 da.
The problem with the free ticket situation, and this is something that I really would love if anyone has a solution for, is the moment a ticket's free, people are just going to sign up whether or not
sure.
they're going to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, if we limit that to even 600, then it's like if 1,000 people sign or are trying to sign up, and that of that 600 would come, but 200 are the only ones that end up coming. That's like a weird
totally
problem, right? But if there, I don't know, there has to be some solution there that works.
Yeah. So this actually is something that I've talked to you with other groups, kind of like us. Of there's a, I don't want to put this group on blast necessarily, but they did start, they used to do a free thing. They started charging, I think, like $10 or whatever. The reasoning behind it was,
Kev, what's
like,
happening?
People okay. do, if it's you're like, going to put $10 down, or whatever, you're going to come. You're not going to just buy a ticket and then not show up. But then we could use that of like, okay, we'll use that to like completely buy out a venue. You do drink tickets or something like that. So you're getting something for it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's the other thing that we talked about, or that we talked about.
As long as you're getting, I don't want it to be that you spend $10 and
And I know that this is kind of a weird thing, but it could just be a dollar. Because even a dollar is going to stop
people. Is a dollar investment? Yeah, that's not an investment. I would, you know.
I think it is, though, because like you're not going to, for a dollar, you're not going to put in your credit card information or whatever the hell and go through all that stuff if you're not going to come. Like, I feel like, and that would limit the amount of people. And a dollar, I'm not offended to ask somebody for. You know what I mean?
We do it all the time. What's up, Patreon? Good to see you.
The other thing
we could use Patreon somehow.
We talked about, too, was potentially, like, if we did a four-hour meet and greet or whatever you do, you do it ticketed, but then you do it in two-hour chunks. So, like, you have a 12 to 2 ticket.
Oh, interesting.
Have a 2 to 4.
That'd be cool.
So, at least you're not waiting for the whole time.
Yeah. I've done the meet and greet the way Andy was getting talked about doing it with the semicircle of groups. Mm-hmm. The problem I have when I've done that before is that it is then harder to pass the ball to everybody. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of our audience, I do feel, would label themselves as introverts. So being grouped up with strangers, even though they're best friends, that is a thing that doesn't work for everybody. So I don't want somebody to get screwed over there. But you could do it too, that there were mini groups, which again doesn't make... But if it was that we're doing hour-long sessions with... I don't know.
50 people.
20 people in a group, you know, and group it up that way. Even that. All right, cool. It's time for the group switch. The group switch is coming up in 5 minutes. If you haven't got a photo or whatever, do the thing you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think these are all great ideas. I think also just a little, like, we're getting close to having a little bit more, like, help with the stuff, which is great. Like, a shout out to, was it Kelsey and
Kyle and Mike and Catherine.
For being around doing all that stuff. But I think, honestly, something that might help is having that PA person standing next to each one of us.
Sure.
Being like, where's your camera? Like, whenever we've had someone who nobody knows who they are, and be able to stand there and be like, hey, let's go, let's move it along, and they get to be the bad guy, that's really helpful. At least I see that, right? Yeah. And then that's the person that goes, hold on a second, do you need a break? As opposed to me saying, like, I hate to be a dick, but I got to pee real
bad. Everybody understands that, though.
Totally get it. But at the same time, I'd rather it be someone else's job to do that.
Sure, you know? I get you.
So I think more help would be good. And then honestly, like, the bars are great. I love them. But I think a space that's not geographical, but like the way that bar was laid out, by the way, was just not ideal.
Obviously. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's New York, though. It's just one. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we were to find, like, or think about, hey, is there an event space or something like that doesn't have
cool idea,
all these people in it, and is not going to get public safety get pissed off at
if
us?
It was
like, public safety idea. Was fine.
I can't remember if it was a PAX or a PSX, and they might have done it other places too. I know Easy Allies did one where they did a ballroom where they, like, got a hotel ballroom, and then it was, they, you know, you set, spread to your, do however you want to do it there.
Yeah,
that's always something.
And it's in that just case, then you could have four organized lines with tables.
And I think what's interesting about it, you know, obviously Kind of Funny is constantly learning experience and trying to figure out, iterate on what we've done, right? I think that this being the world tour and actually being a thing is the first time we've ever had, hey, let's just worry about meet and greets.
Yeah.
And we have treated them like, hey, they're just meet and greets like we would do at an event.
Right.
And so it is that thing of like, oh, maybe, you know, like the name tags have been a thing this time around where it's like, we have a moment amazing. To plan.
I think he gets better.
Let's get the PAs from, you know, the community that'll be there that, you know us enough that are down to do stuff. And it's like, you can see us starting to get it all in line in whatever meet and greet 3.0, 4.0, whatever you want to call this thing is going to be, where it's, we're figuring it out. But I just want to make sure we're always, especially as we grow, that we continue to take care of everybody. Because in Vancouver, they're going to have 1,000 people, apparently. They're going to beat New York.
I would love to see
it. Out.
Yeah.
You know, I think those are all great ideas.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think this, I mean, at the end of the day, as long as we're able to actually hang out and talk to people and, like, connect with people for at least a second, I'll be happy. I don't care how. I don't care what that looks like or how we do it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be fair to everybody.
That's I know. And that's the thing. I think the more we can set expectations for people. I mean, again, I didn't hear anyone necessarily complaining, but the more we set expectations of, like, hey, this is how these things go, I think that's fine.
Even
that's
the good. Subreddit threads that were like, hey, like, I waited 3.5 hours and only got a photo and a handshake with Greg. I understand why, but I think, like, everybody gets it. I think they're also speaking to the fact of, like, we want to help you figure out a better way to do this.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the thing, is it was extremely positive. And, like, for the amount of people that we saw, I think that it was overwhelmingly a success.
Oh, yeah.
And
that,
we connected with so many people, so many great moments. Nanobiologists being there.
That,
like,
was awesome.
Are you kidding me? Like, when he said that, I was just like, holy.
Have you seen the clip of me?
I wish someone filmed me, because I freaked the fuck out.
Kevin, can you bring that up off my Twitter?
Like, it's just, those moments are so cool. cool. Having the name tags is great. Like,
yeah.
Again, we always say this every time, and there's people that still don't believe it, but it's not about us. It's about meeting other people there. And the amount of people there that are like, I've heard you say that, I still didn't fucking believe you, and yeah. here I am with this group of people that I'm leaving with today. Like,
yeah.
so damn cool. This was definitely one of the most successful ones we've had, and I feel like we've said that the last couple of weeks. Arizona was amazing. I didn't think it could be beat, and then it did at Kansas yeah. City, and then it did at New York. And, like, that's really awesome, and I just think that it's a testament to how great the community is. Like, everyone's so cool and understanding.
Can you show with the audio, though, Kev, so they can hear it? Because, like, if you're at home... Well, hold on, I guess I'll let it play. It's going to cycle. Okay, it doesn't matter. But when you can, or if you just want to go to my Twitter and watch it, this is what you need to do. A nanobiologist nails it, right? Of like, hey, I'm whatever his real name is. I'm also a nanobiologist, and that's why I flip out, right? Where it's the same thing where so many people don't think to do that, where it's like, oh, hey, I'm blah. And it's like, oh, hey, blah, pleasure to meet you. And then I see him on the subreddit, or I see him on Twitter. I'm like, holy fuck, why didn't you tell me you were that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. You got it? You know what I mean? Just like, because you can see me break from like, all right, cool. And this one I got to pee so goddamn bad right now, too.
Oh, dude. Yeah. There were two people that surprised the shit out of a lot of people that I saw that. I was like, oh, I recognize your name, which is surprising for me. But a couple people showed up that I was like, how do I know? And then it dawned on me that they're like, Riker showed up. And I was like, oh, shit. Because I thought it was just another person saying, hey, man, because he popped in, he's like, I gotta go, but I just want to say hi. And there's every once in a while, someone will come up and be like, I gotta go, I got a kid or some shit.
Yeah.
And I'll make extra time or like a quick time for them. And I started talking, I was like, nope, you're
Dan Riker. I know you. I know you in person.
I didn't get to see Riker at all.
When I came out to take the photo from the third angle, yeah, I was like, oh, I'm taking a photo. He's like, hey, Greg, I'm like, hey, Dan, hey, how are you? Fuck, I gotta take this photo and get back in.
But then the other really, really like, the thing that fucking blew my mind was Josh was there. Do you remember our old intern?
Josh Miller, dude. Yes. Yeah.
And I was like,
IGN,
I talked to him for a solid 30 seconds before he was like, yeah. And I was like, and I always apologize. And like, look, if I met you before, like, I just understand that I'm old and dumb. I can't remember everyone I've met. But I was like, I recognize you. And he's like, yeah, I worked for you for 6 months. And I was like, fuck, dude. How are you?
Yeah, dude.
That is awesome.
It was so good seeing him.
It was cool to see him.
Working at BuzzFeed now.
Yeah.
Like, nice. Killing the game. Like, yeah. Super awesome. That was really great seeing him. Didn't see Riker. Did see Drucker. Didn't recognize him for a second.
Yeah, he had a hat on.
Because he had a hat on, and he was looking way skinnier than I've ever seen him.
Babe.
So that was awesome. But yeah, it was just cool, like seeing everybody. And Catherine, who was one of our helpers, who I know that Kyle and Kelsey were officially helping us. Like, yeah. But like, I didn't know that anyone else was.
Mike and Catherine just are great and offered to help.
Oh, yeah. And Mike Towndrow. Oh, my God. Who I know is watching right now. You killed the game. You guys were all so helpful and so great. But Catherine, I've never met her before. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know she was helping us. But I saw her and I recognized her so much where I'm just like, oh, we're boys. Like, I know you. And she was like, oh, do you want a drink? Do you want me to, like, take your jacket? I just trusted her so much. Mm-hmm. Where I'm just like, yes and yes. Thank you, whatever. And it wasn't until later that I realized, I was like, oh, my God, you're...
hide indoors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But on other things, it's like, I forgot what her name is on, like, Facebook or whatever.
I don't know. It's hide indoors everywhere.
Whatever it is, it's like, I freaking know you. Like, yeah. I've known you for years. And it's like, that's why I felt so... connected to her is because I was like, oh my God, like we've talked a bazillion times on the internet. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we met, but I didn't realize that. Like that, it tricked even me. You know what I mean? I'm just knowing that. Very cool shit.
Very cool.
Love these guys.
At the very start, when I moved inside after, you know, you had moved me inside and I was there for a second, moving things around, getting ready for the photo. I'm talking to some kids and the bartender walked over and he's like, you're Greg Miller? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, here you go. And he handed me a piece of paper and I was like, motherfucker. And the guy's like, what? The bartender's like, what? And I'm like, is this from Nick? And he's like, who's Nick? And I open up and it was a lovely note from Eric Goldman and Matt Fowler, who had been at the bar an hour early and saw them setting shit up and like, what are you doing? Like, oh, these kind of funny people are coming in. He's like, oh, they wrote down a note like, we're so proud of you and we love and appreciate you.
When you see Greg, awesome.
So I bit this guy's head off thinking it was a KFA bit about to happen. I was like, is there a nutter butter in here? He's like, what do you mean?
That's so funny. Also, shout out to all the best friends, not just at the meet and greet, but just in New York that we kept running into the entire weekend. My favorite. Was right before Mania.
Yeah.
So me and Joey were hanging out. Gia was with some of her friends and she was going to meet us later. Like, everyone was doing their own thing. And then me and Joey ended up going to this bar called Mama's Bar. And no one was there. And it was just the two of us. We walk in and I go up and I order a drink and the bartender looks up and goes, you're Tim fucking Geddes.
Nice.
And I was like, oh shit. Yeah, what's up, man? He was like, holy shit, this is crazy. Like, he's like, I saw Greg on Instagram and stuff. I didn't realize like you were all here. Like, this is nuts. Wow. And then I was like, I ordered whatever beer I got, and I got a wine for Joey, and he just kept pouring it. And it was, he filled the wine
Joan?
Cup.
He gave you a Joan?
Yeah, to the all brim. The way to the top.
And I'm like, holy shit. So shout out to you. And then he gave us Jello shots.
Which are great.
I saw this. It was crazy. Yeah, when Jen and I went to Grand Central to go to this oyster place that she'd always wanted to go to, we were walking, and sure enough, this guy double takes, and Jen caught it before I did. She's like, hey. And he's like, oh my God, Greg Miller, Jen, what are you doing here? And we're like, oh, we're doing a meet and greet, like an hour and a half. He's like, what? Oh, I didn't know. He was a conductor on the rail system. And then
he was like, I'll leave the train. These things practically drive themselves.
And then we went to John of Bleecker Street for pizza because Eltano's always talking about it. And when we were getting ready to leave to go to Mania, these two people walked by us, and they walked by both with Kind of Funny jackets on. And I was like, hey. And one kept going. The other turned around. I was like, holy shit, what are you doing here? Blah, blah. And like the guy who was going to seat them, because it's a super busy place, was taking his friend in the back room, did it, then came back out and gave like the stink eye to this kid who was like freaking out to talk to me. We took a photo, and I went back and saw his friend who I'd met before. And then even going to Mania, I talked about this earlier on Games Daily. When I went backstage to do the watch-along thing, on the way back, they walked me through the floor of it, and I got, like, stopped 7 times from people like, oh, my God, Greg, oh, hey, holy, and I was like, yeah. Making me look good in front of WWE. Thanks, man. I needed this to justify everything they've given us.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's fine.
It was a great time. I want to talk about Mania, but first, a word from our sponsors. This episode of the Kinda Funny Podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Admit it. You think that cybercrime is something that happens to other people. You may think that no one wants your data or that hackers can't grab your passwords and credit card details, but you'd be wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest and cheapest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see. That's why Kinda Funny decided to take action to protect us from cyber criminals. We started using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click, and using ExpressVPN, we can safely surf the public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having our personal data stolen. ExpressVPN is rated number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/kindoffunny to learn more. Next up, Zebit. No one likes zero anything. Like when you take a break, your phone, like when you break your phone and lose contact with the outside world. Zero calls, zero texts, zero social media. Honestly, life without a phone means pretty much zero everything. Having zero of anything is hardly ever a good thing unless we're talking about Zebit. That's Zebit. They'll change your whole perspective on zero forever. Zebit provides a better credit option for those who need it. They allow you to buy what you need and pay over time interest fee. With Zebit, there's no cost to join, no memberships, and no late fees. Zebit does not check your credit score. Zero impact on your credit score, and your Zebit account does not affect your credit score. Zebit has everyday items at everyday prices. They have more than 50,000 products in their marketplace with brand names like Xbox, Sony, Apple, GoPro, and Fitbit. From electronics to barbecues, furniture, and more, Zebit has everything you need when you need it. Sign up for Zebit today at zebit.com/kinda and get $2,500 credit to shop the Zebit marketplace at zero interest and zero cost to join. That's zebit.com/kinda for $2,500 of interest-free credit. zebit.com/kinda. So, Nick.
Yes.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
A lot more fun, a lot more enjoyable event when you've slept.
Yeah.
And you didn't do a 4-hour meet and greet right beforehand.
So if you're familiar with that reference, yeah, when we did the Arizona meet and greet for the Kinda Funny World Tour, we finished it and then we went straight to the Royal Rumble.
Got immediately in an Uber.
Yeah.
And drove straight to the Royal Rumble, which we thought started at like 3 p.m. Central Time.
Yeah.
But that was like pre-show stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't really start till 5. Yeah. That was a very long event.
So here's the thing. We fucked that up so royally. because not only did we go for the pre-show, which most of us wouldn't have cared to go to, some of us did, but not only that, we didn't adjust for the time change. And when WWE promotes its stuff, they promote in Pacific time. So
they did Eastern and Pacific. Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, whatever they didn't do wherever we were. And because of that, we all did our math wrong. So we showed up an hour early to the pre-show.
Yeah.
Well, I think we read off the tickets. So we read off the tickets for like when doors opened or whatever, right?
We sat there. No, we even that we fucked up.
Okay. Either way, we got
whatever. We fucked up Arizona and we were there and it was cool and it was fun, but Nick was exhausted and not that big into wrestling. So like that was the one where we started wearing down, and then it was cool. Greg's like, "Can we carry 17 chairs?" That's when Nick was like, "I'm done."
Yeah, no, I mean, I literally hit a point of exhaustion at Rumble where I was, I'm like, I want to fall asleep. It's like after you've been on a plane for like 12 hours and you're just trying to fall asleep, but you can't get comfortable. And then just imagine that, but 50,000 fans occasionally scream next to you.
Yeah,
that's what that was.
So Mania much better.
Mania much better because we split up the days. We did the meet and greet the day prior, and then I got a solid 8 hours of sleep the night before, and then that night. So I was fairly well rested. I was a little tired because the meet and greet took a little bit out of me and we drank a little bit too. But fine. And then we went later. I think we got there right as the real first official match was starting, which is perfect timing. Snacks. There was no one in line for snacks. And we may or may not have recorded a KFAF bit there, ranking all the snacks. Tune in tomorrow, 11 a.m. PT.
If anybody had a bad time at WrestleMania... It was Golden Boy, Alex Mendez, and the people he was sitting next to.
Great time.
Because he had to deal with the Kind of Funny group getting up and leaving 19 times. We would literally sit down and Jen would be like, you want something? Like, yeah, we get back up and leave.
Hey, so you're at a live sporting event.
Hey, you should watch from home. You know what I mean?
Golden Boy, why don't you sit there and stream from home?
Alex is good. He understood what was up.
Was he talking shit? Was he talking shit?
No, it was
about
more the people next to him. I'm not sure how many were with him. Some of them I was getting the stink eye from for sure.
Yeah, it's fine.
Especially when I got up just to go out and talk to the WWE guy and then I came back
awesome
and said,
I didn't expect him to be there.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that he was next to us, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, same people all got us tickets.
Yeah,
right?
I didn't think
shout
about
out to
that.
WWE.
No, I had a great time. It was a lot more fun coming into an event with energy. I was a little bit worried that it was going to be outdoors and would rain on us, but that we ended up dodging that bullet narrowly toward the end.
That final match when we started feeling the occasional raindrop, you're like, ah, fuck, is this how it's going to end?
It's one of those things. Interesting, from a programming perspective, I had some notes. But I don't think anyone cares what my
would
opinion.
You tighten it up?
I just think there was a couple matches in there that were just boring and didn't need to happen. And then I think that the way that they ended, I think the most, and this is not a knock to any of the matches that came afterward, but I think the most electrifying match of the whole thing was the Kofi match.
Sure.
And that was just, I mean, that was like watching two fucking masters of a trade just duke it out. It was great.
Yeah.
I thought the Miz's match was awesome.
Yeah.
Against, was it Shane?
Shane McMahon. Yeah. Shane McMahon fucked up his dad.
Yeah, that was great. Spots, man. That was so fun. I think they really, I think to me, this is why, I mean, I understand, I've always understood kind of why people are drawn to WWE. It's just pure fucking shenanigan craziness.
Yeah.
But watching the Miz, I don't know what the name of that move was where you,
Suplex
someone off of a two-story high scaffolding.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And then, the Kofi match was just really, really dynamic and fun.
Oh, my gosh.
I was hoping that
it's once in a lifetime, man. That's the thing. Is like you got to witness something really, really special and cool with the Kofi match, which is an organic rise where WWE isn't creating this match, isn't creating this superstar. It's like this storyline, just it happened. And the crowd was behind it, and it worked out perfectly. Like where, and it was also paced perfectly in Mania of it being the mid match, where the audience was still ready to cheer.
But that's my thing is like that was still 2 hours in, and I was like, dude, I'm fucking ready. And then I looked at my watch, and I was like, how are they gonna?
At some point, Alex leaned over and he's like, just a heads up.
Yeah,
it's been 4 hours or whatever, and it's still three more matches.
And there's three more matches. And I was fascinated because I was like, how are they gonna top this? And they didn't. There was nothing after that was especially interesting to watch.
They couldn't. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's impossible to top that because that was it's so rare you have a match where every single person in the crowd is either chanting for one person or perfectly divided between one and two. And this was option one. It's so rare that that happens because when it does, usually it's like, oh, that's a beatdown where it's like people don't like the other guy.
Yeah.
This is one of the
few. Like Brock.
Yes,
the
exactly.
Brock stuff this time around.
This is one of those rare cases where it's like everyone's cheering for Kofi, but everyone loves Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's a great bad guy. And it's like you don't get that a lot. That's why you couldn't beat it, and they needed the women to be the final match.
I'll dial back that statement. There was one more moment that I was like, this is a fucking cool thing in my
John
life.
John Cena?
No, John Cena was great. He was
as
awesome.
As soon as that started, I looked over at you. I was like, Tim's got to be loving this.
Loved it.
John Cena with the pumps. That was great.
Fucking amazing.
Nailing that. I guess that's one
nuts.
Of the side characters.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
So that was fun. But no, I was not expecting Joan Jett to come out and sing live. And I was like, they're fucking destroying this. Yeah. And I've can check that off. Not that it was high on my bucket list, but it's cool to see Joan Jett live.
It was on some list I had.
I was like, oh shit. And you know, I had a negative reaction at first because they had been playing that fucking, the anthem of WWE where they made it a point to be like, dude, look, we spent a lot of money licensing this song.
Love Lockdown like, song.
We've got to play this. Republic, I'm going to pass, 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 whatever that is.
WrestleMania's here.
Hey, everyone. And I heard the first 30 seconds of that song probably 50 times.
Yeah.
And I'm like. And
brought to you by Snickers.
Brought to you by Snickers. The delight with nuts. And then they go, hey, joining us live. And I missed the Joan Jett part.
You thought it was going to be those guys?
And I thought it was that song. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to, they fucking brought the band here to play the song. We didn't get enough of this fucking song.
Hey, real talk. And I know that you're not like a wrestling fan in this way, but it's like, you're lucky that that's the case because more often than not, yeah, they do have that song get performed and nobody fucking likes it. And the musical interludes that they always do are trash.
Dude.
And it's like, it's very rare that they have someone, even when it is people performing the headliner songs, that they don't do just their songs. They normally come through, they'll play like their fucking single of the moment, and then they'll introduce them. The last WrestleMania I went to was 28 with John Cena and The Rock as the main event, which, are you fucking kidding me? That's amazing. You know what's not amazing? Having one of them be introduced by Machine Gun Kelly and the other introduced by Flo Rida, and having both of them play random ass singles they had
at the fucking drop, dude.
Yes, but like not when it's the song that you heard for fucking 30. Yeah. Welcome to my house. Yeah. No one gives a fuck about this.
Great song.
But it's like, I want to hear The Rock's theme. I want to hear John Cena's theme. I don't want to see these fuckers.
Yeah. But, and that's the thing. So when I realized what we were listening to and they showed Joan Jett, I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is she going to play another song? And no, she just stood there for a solid 20 minutes while Ronda made her way.
Charlotte walked by her, Becky walked by her. I was like
maybe get her on the
stage. It would have been awesome if Charlotte Flair needed to get even more over as a heel and just beat the shit out of Joan Jett. Just came out, Jeff Jarrett at her with a guitar. Yeah.
But that was a truly awesome moment. And the fact that they were actually playing and sounded fucking awesome live.
That was one of the best fans playing a song I've ever seen.
She still had the fucking traditional like punk haircut with like the blunted bangs and the fucking mullet. And I was like, God damn, that's fucking punk rock still.
Sure, man.
You are punk rock. That was awesome.
Joan Jett knows, man. Yeah. I like that final match. I like the main event. Now, granted, it was a history kind of thing. You know what I mean? That was the big deal. But Becky is so over.
Becky's so over it, dude. I could not agree with you, man. I thought that main event was, especially having kept up with the product the last couple months.
Yeah.
Such a major disappointment. And like, it all stems from the end. It's like, dude, like even now, as of recording this, we're now Tuesday. It's like, nobody knows exactly what went wrong. Something did.
Something went wrong. And that's the thing for me as a person.
Wait, what do you mean? Because you didn't think it should end?
Her shoulders weren't on the thing?
I don't think so. I don't think there was.
Well, yeah, that went wrong. Yes. She didn't roll over all the way.
But it seems like, it's like when the main event is being such a big deal that they're doing this, they overbooked the fuck out of it for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Why did Charlotte Flair just bury Asuka's career like 2 weeks ago on SmackDown getting her title? Why'd that have to get involved? Like, there was just so much shit where they just put, it was just too much, way too much in one thing.
Sure.
And
I would have rather just been Ronda versus Becky, no Charlotte involved.
But if they're going to involve Charlotte, like, it doesn't need to be winner takes all for this and all this fucking shit. And Charlotte's going to, there's a helicopter. It's like,
I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're going to come in on a helicopter, you better be willing to fucking zip line down.
Zip line from the helicopter.
Like, rappel down. You better be able to rappel down.
Yeah, WWE doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah, the zip line. Yeah, there's a lineage with that.
Anybody coming down from anything like that. Yeah, that's
smart. No, but it's one of the things where
I'm not saying that I loved the match. I'm just saying I thought the Kofi match, obviously, Kofi and Becky are in the same category, right? Of like, everybody's ready for that fucking to happen and that to be the moment, right?
Yeah.
And so like, for me with the match, I'm saying that I enjoyed the ride of it. And then the moment, obviously, of her with two belts and everybody chanting for Becky and blah, blah. In terms of, the sloppy finish or whatever, which I think, I didn't see Raw last night, did you?
No, not yet.
I would imagine they're going to play into it, probably. They're going to lean into it, right? For Ronda, of course, well, she didn't even really beat me. She didn't get both of
course,
you know, blah, blah,
of course, like, yeah. Like, but that's the thing is, like, does anyone want that at this point? Like, it's a weird thing where, let me take a step back. This was an amazing WrestleMania, and the fact that we got the three faces winning,
yeah.
We got Seth, Becky, and fucking Kofi, amazing. And I feel like they did it all very, very well. Like, let's get Lesnar out of the way in the beginning of the show. Brilliant, man.
What's the backstory? I mean, in terms of that, because Paul said the thing of like, he'll go to Vegas where he's like, is he trying to get back out and go to the UFC again?
I mean, well, the moment he loses the title, why would he be here still?
Yeah.
Like, he's, you imagine.
I just didn't know if there was any other backstage drama stuff I'd missed or anything.
I mean, he's been here way too long.
Like, I know. I agree. Don't get me wrong.
He's overstayed his welcome, so it's like he's going to UFC. You got to imagine at some point. Whereas Ronda is like doing her whole family thing. Like, she wants to have a kid and all that. So the plan for a long time had been this being her last match, potentially.
For a while.
And now it's like, that seems confirmed.
Okay.
But it's just
forever?
Like, No.
Okay, just for a while. So she goes to have a kid. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then come back. So it's just like that last match, especially WrestleMania, I thought it was so perfect. I thought they did everything so right, whereas giving the fans what they want, but also having an amazing amount of epic entrances.
Sure.
Oh, normally, yeah. It's only a few key people having, like, it's usually Triple H.
Of course, yeah.
And of course, he had something. But like,
weird
like,
Mad Max thing.
I love that they get with the PS2 graphics. But I love that they had like Ricochet, who was an NXT come up, have this epic entrance. And they really went all out. Like, this is Mania. This is something special. And then once we got to the last couple matches, the momentum just took a fucking, like, dive off a cliff.
Yeah.
Where the Kurt Angle match is like, Baron Corbin. No one cares. And like, they'd been building up forever that it was going to be Cena coming out. Not only did they not have it, they had Corbin taunt the fans. And I'm like, all right, cool. Heel heat that this guy doesn't need. Kurt Angle's moment leaving. So special.
Of course.
So fantastic. Yeah, yeah. But like, you're really going to let him go out like that match wise? Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And then the Elias thing was great with,
I love Elias.
With him. Elias is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But did you hear what happened on Raw?
No.
Taker came out.
Oh, really?
During Elias.
Oh, I saw the Instagram today and I didn't understand it because I didn't see
Taker
the Raw.
Taker came out, not at WrestleMania, but which I get, whatever. But then the second to last match that was Demon.
Finn Balor.
Yeah. Versus Bobby Lashley.
Totally. Why was that so late? Why was that so late
if Undertaker wasn't going to come out?
Yeah.
Give us a fucking thing. Give us, like, when the moment that I was like, oh, we have three matches left, and one of them is Corbin Angle, one of them is Demon Lashley, we're going to get John Cena, and we're going to get Undertaker. We didn't. And I'm like, we didn't need this much of a lull going into the main event that then felt like it had a couple botches. The table's not breaking. The end felt, even without her shoulders not being down, those issues, it felt anticlimactic.
Sure.
Like, there was a question.
Well, that was the thing, is I think if you're designing the match, and I'm not shoulders touching the mat thing, you want Ronda to lose clean, right? And you want it to be that, because they're both faces in WWE, for WWE, not for the audience, obviously.
Well, now she's a heel.
Right, Ronda. Of course. But I mean, like, that's the thing of, like, they want to keep all that in there. I think you want it clean, you don't want it being a decisive thing, so it is a slippery move that she got in, and this is what happened. Like, oh my God, how does that happen? So there is, when she comes back after this kid, regardless, again, of the shoulder not touching the mat, there is the argument of, like, you couldn't even really beat me. You had to do
for it being the women's first main event at WrestleMania, for it being a triple threat, it had to match the triple threat at WrestleMania 20 of Benoit, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels.
Sure.
And it just didn't.
Sure. Close. I agree with 100%.
And it's like that. These women are definitely capable. Like, we've seen them do this shit. So that's why I'm a little let down by that. But again, fucking solid Mania. Definitely one of my favorite ever.
Yeah. So WrestleMania ends.
Yeah.
And it's time to go home, everybody.
And guess what begins? The apocalypse. Holy shit,
we
man.
Decide to leave. 82,000 people decide they want to leave East Rutherford, New Jersey, just like the rest of us.
Tell you what, the MetLife Arena, shout out to them for two things. One, throwing a hell of an event. Just had a great time. Good snacks. Two, getting everyone out of the arena very efficiently.
No, that's not what they did.
No. Getting everyone literally physically out of the arena itself into the parking lot, they're great at that. Getting people from the parking lot the fuck out of the parking lot, I have not seen such chaos since fucking Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Now, I want to walk you back. I want to walk back a lot of things. What I remember from growing up, going to WWE all the fucking time, me and my friends would drive out to the Allstate Arena, formerly the Rosemont Horizon, which it should still be called. We drive out there, and this is the late 90s, early aughts, and we would get into that parking lot, and you would leave, and you would spend 2 more hours in the parking lot because it was just pandemonium.
Oh, that's every sporting event I've ever been to.
I feel, you know, with as much wrestling as we've been going to lately, things have changed for the better in most places. Granted, I was staying at the Staples Center, so leaving, well, who cared? But even then, it still felt like that was moving pretty. As I look around LA, this is going pretty well and people getting out of here. When we went down to San Jose, same story.
That was super easy.
It was easy. We got out. When I went, even this isn't the exact same thing, but when I went to the 49ers game down at Santa Clara, it was the first time I had Ubered to a thing forever.
Yeah.
And so we got out and it was like, oh, there's signs. Uber pickup lot over there. We walked, we dropped the pin, they pulled up. We said we were in whatever zone, got in and drove away. Yeah. I'm like, man. It really has kept efficient. Up. This is kept up. I mean, technology wise,
like that was the fun part about Phoenix was you walk Phoenix. It's like right in downtown.
Right.
So there's no parking structure, so there's not a ton of traffic. We walked out. Granted, we took our time.
We tried to walk to a restaurant.
I had to like carry 15 fucking chairs, so it took me a little longer to get out of there. But
this is not the case at MetLife. when we again, we all went to the bathroom and it was just pandemonium, but we're all walking and we're all going upstairs. And Jen was like, how are we getting out of here? And I'm like, we'll figure it out. There are trains that could get us closer to Manhattan where we're staying. But I assumed we're going to do Uber. And sure enough, we come down the escalator and they have these giant LED poles everywhere, like billboards that say that were rotating things of like, go to lot D for this, go to the trains train over that way. Yeah. And it was Uber lots are D and E. And you're like, oh my God, great. They haven't figured out.
Makes sense.
So we all start walking. And then there was the moment of like, wait, where's D and E? Their signs aren't clearly posted. All right, well, we figured out. We start walking. We get closer to this just massive humanity. Yeah. And Nick's like, this is just like I Am Legend when people are trying to get on the helicopter.
Yeah, it's bad.
And I'm like, oh my God. And like, we got, and this can't be it. And sure enough, it's it. And they have this weird winding line for you to get into, even though you're booking Ubers on your phone. Like, how's the line? And then people are hopping the fences to get into the line. Nick's there's no reception. Zero. I had no reception throughout the show except for when I was backstage, even though I still wasn't on any Wi-Fi. But you get some, you book a guy, he's coming in 12 minutes or whatever.
Guy says, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And we go, okay, so lot E, probably not gonna, it's too crazy.
The Uber area overrun, everybody's right. Everywhere. It doesn't make any sense. There's lot D over there. Jen's like, let's go over there and tell them to get us there. Lot D.
That makes more sense. There'll probably be less people there. And even if there's the same amount of people, at least we'll know, right?
Yeah.
We go over to lot D. And by the way, did you notice that lot D, I don't think lot D was an Uber pickup spot.
No, even though
I think it was just lot D.
Yeah.
Because there was no way to get into lot D. Yeah. Every road that was going into lot D was packed with cars trying to get the fuck out.
Right.
Like two lanes deep. So I was like, I don't think this guy can even get in here if he wanted to. And then we had the choice. We were like, do we try to just walk out of this madness?
Well, yeah.
Because the guy was frozen.
The idea was like, we looked at the map. I can barely get reception, but I can see the map. We're comparing things. Like, all right, he's over there. But if we walk up to the highway area, we can probably catch him there. I had opened up Uber and finally gotten thing. And it was like, it's surge pricing. It's going to be 4.8 times the price. Yeah. I'm like, we'll just ride with Nick's, whatever he's got. Yeah. And so then it was like, let's walk towards the highway over there. We get there. And of course, you just run into the corner of the fence. There's nowhere to go. So then we started walking left up the highway ramp. Like, and there was this cars parked everywhere. There's one cab there and it's got a dude at the window of the cab talking to the guy, and the guy for some reason turns him down.
They were negotiating something, and I think the guy wasn't going far enough
because
the cab driver wanted to make a decent fare off of this.
And so we walk over and we're like, hey, yeah, we're going to
We're going into Manhattan, and he's like, where?
Yeah,
which why he asked that question is beyond me, because he
wanted money, man.
Well, no, learn later, he had not even a cursory knowledge of New York City. This man was a New York City cab driver who had zero understanding of how New York Manhattan.
Now, Jen
works.
Makes the great point that we're not 100% sure about that. The car was yellow. There was no fare meter.
It's true. It's possible that we just got into a yellow car.
A little
car.
Thing in there, a little license, but yeah, it didn't look like you're no. Anyways. I got over there. I'm like, hey, we're going here over in Manhattan or whatever, downtown or midtown, right?
We were on the Lower East Side.
Lower East Side, whatever. And it's like, all right, cool. We climbed in. He's like, you know, it'll be a flat fare, $120. You have to pay for tolls, though.
Now, I had seen the Uber, what the Uber charge is going to be. That was going to be like $140.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, $120. Sure. Yeah,
I mean, we spent like $70 or $80 getting out there. So yeah, now it's going to be way more.
That makes sense.
Like, yeah,
and by the way, we were like, cool. I was like, yeah, this makes sense. We'll have to tip the guy, of course, because that's what's going to happen. But even then, it'll be maybe $10 more than the Uber.
I'm like, we're going to use credit card. And he's like, okay. Ugh. And then he busts out the phone on the Square reader on the spot.
We're
stuck on the highway, still at the fucking MetLife Center.
And he's pissing everyone off behind us because people are like, dude, you got two car lengths in front of you. Go. And the guy's trying to figure out how to make his fucking Square app work on his phone. He is an elderly gentleman. So
that's very elderly.
He wanted you to pay up front.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I think he wanted to make sure that the credit card transaction would go through before he drove us the 40
minutes
out.
But it's a standoff. Like, well, we'll pay. Or you don't trust us. We don't trust you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he can't get the Square card. He can't get the Square card reader to work, which means that he's opening the Square app and it's going loading and spinning. He's like, why is it doing this? And we're like, well, there's too many people using the internet here. It's happening to us too. No, it's not that.
It's not
He gave me the phone. I'm restarting. I'm like, no, same thing. He's like, no, it can't be. So he calls his friend who gave him the app. And he's like, the loading thing's happening. What do I do? The person's like, wah, wah, wah. Like, all right, cool. Finally, while we're talking, he hands it to Nick, and Nick made it go.
No, I did was look at it, and it started going because it just needed to connect to the signal. We were absolutely right. There was too many fucking people trying to get on the network.
And so then the guy goes, all right, cool, and he puts in the price, he puts in tips, and he's like, all right, run your card. And I was like, whoa, why don't we wait till we get there to run it? And he's like, no, run it now. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And Nick's like, I don't know. And it was a thing of like, all right, it's fine. Like, fine, we're going to run it or whatever. And he's like, what would I do? If I'm stuck here with you guys. If I didn't do it, I'm dead. And I'm like, yeah, you are.
it was to a point where we were like, I'm not trying to threaten an old man. But I'm not above it. But I'm also not above it.
Yeah.
I'm also not above it. Oh, I'm not saying there was a threat rendered, but there was definitely an air in the car of, if you fuck us, old man.
Yeah. If
but
you like try to throw us out of this fucking car, we're just not going to get out of the car. Do you want your Twitter fucking numbers to drop, old man? Because we'll do it.
But he raised a good point. He was like, you guys are already in the car. He wasn't what I... Hindsight being 2020, and we all, by the way, we all kept it cool. It was not like anyone was mad or anything. It was just like, this is a little weird, but I understand. I'm like, it occurred to me, and that's why I was like, I'll just put it through, because I was like, if he's having trouble here, like, and why don't we just get it done now? Because I can see the future. I'm looking into the how the rest of this night's gonna go. It's gonna take us forever to get there, and if I have to fucking deal with this app not working on the other end of it, I will just get out. Like, I'll straight up just get out and be like, find me in New York, old man. Grandpa fucking time.
You just go scatter and we all run in different directions, except Andy, who's asleep in the back of the camp.
We left Andy in there. They sell Andy into a sex trade. It's fine. It's even
so trade. We get going. But it's like, the thing was, of course, we got into the car as it was trying to turn into the stadium.
Yeah, so we still had to wait
for going through the stadium, and then we got there, and then we got moving. But then as we get on the road, it's clear that not only does this man not really know New York that well, he's blind.
Yeah.
He's legitimately blind as he is like, moving, having Nick try to Google times for which tunnel to take.
Yeah, he was like, "What?" He's like, "Which tunnel's gonna be better?" I'm like, "Again, for the fourth time,
we're from San Francisco.
I don't even know what the Lincoln, the difference between the Lincoln Tunnel and the other tunnel is." Yeah. I was like, "There's two tunnels? Why would they need two tunnels?"
Yeah.
So I just Google the map in my map app, Lincoln Tunnel, and it says 12 minutes, and the other one was like 30 minutes. I was like, "I think the Lincoln Tunnel."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Great." Meanwhile, narrowly dodged this was sheet of rain that was started coming through. So I was like, God, I hope Tim and the rest of the guys actually got in a cab, because it's pouring on
them. We had the opposite situation entirely. Joey handled the fuck out of this. No one's surprised. And within a second, had an Uber guy on the phone, and he was like, look, I'm going to walk you through this. It was some Mission Impossible shit. And we're just like, Joey got this. And I just see Joey take off. I've never seen Joey run like this ever. And I'm like, she's Gia, like, let's go. We just got to follow. And like, we followed. It was me, James Burke, Cool Gray, all of us just fucking running after Joey. And we just follow her through like gates and stuff. Like, she was just like finding little Harry Potter nooks and stuff to go through. And then we end up going around, and the guy pulls up to this random ass area and like pulls up. Perfectly timed. We get in the car and he's like, cool, let's go. He gets us out immediately. He's just like, you guys got the right Uber driver. I've done this a million times. I know exactly where to go. Thank you for listening to me. A lot of people don't trust me. You're the good ones. And I'm like, what is happening right now? I'm happy that this is happening.
You had
because
we're opposite.
Fucking here. And he got us. He's like, I know where you are. I'm going to choose all the right routes to get you there. Don't even worry.
We lucked out that it, when we got to the iZombie part, or Will Smith I Am Legend part, when it was like, this is like you're fucking trying to give your boat to Billy, or your kid to Billy Zane to get it on the fucking lifeboat. We then got around it, and then we got in the car pretty quick. And we were getting home at the same time. Yeah. So it all worked out. Ours just had a lot more tension,
though.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Yeah, because James Burke gets lost easy. You know what I mean?
Dude, I don't understand it. Am I supposed to go up or down to get out of the stadium?
So, okay. Yeah.
Down, James.
We all worked out getting out there. So yeah, we're driving, but yeah, the guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's getting in he's stopping at red lights and then hanging out while they go green, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Then
I don't know if it's illegal to make a right-hand turn on a red light, but neither does he, because he didn't make any right-hand turns on red lights.
Finally, we're navigating him in, and like, yeah, he tries to go down a one-way street multiple times. We're like, no, you have to turn here. And then he's like, what, turn? And like, Jen's finally from the back seat, like, turn on the navigation to us.
What I didn't realize, I was like, oh, okay. Once we get in New York, he's gonna know. Just like,
because we're like second and whatever. Yeah. And it's like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Like, if I told a cab driver Fillmore and Lombard, they'd be like, cool, don't worry about it. I got you. I'm gonna take you the best route
to get there.
That's the only advantage of taking a cab in SF, if they even still exist. I don't think I've seen one in 10 years. But they have a knowledge of the city because this is their beat. This guy
clearly
I think his beat is Jersey, because he did not know anything about this.
What's an important epilogue? Will be important epilogue to this, as you see how this night's going, of just being stressful. In the middle of it, while we're doing this, Andy has not had any New York pizza this entire trip, which is outrageous, because I've had it every day. Of course, I make it out of this, and he's like, "That's why I'm gonna roll with you, Greg. I know you'll get pizza and make it happen."
And
I'm like,
blame one Nick Scarpino for
what?
That.
What?
Entirely.
What?
Quick tangent.
Sure, please do it.
Like, this is something you missed.
I need
out
news.
On,
I need news. Yeah, I haven't seen this.
We were at it was night one, so we fly in Friday, right? And we get there at about
fucking shit, Joe.
I don't know, 9 p.m. and we're all fucking hungry. So we go, we get food. You were there too. It was awesome. It was
top
Loco. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
And it was
what was our waiter's name?
Cody. Never forget Cody.
Love Cody.
All right. So Nick Scarpino, like, sorry, this tangent just got a little longer.
He's got a tangent with the tangent. Inception.
Nick Scarpino flirting with literally everything because he's Nick.
Some birds. Some birds.
I wouldn't say flirting. I would say I'm being very happy with people because it was a fun time.
He's very charismatic with everybody. So to finish out that tangent, Nick becomes friends with literally everyone in the bar, including our waiter, Cody, who was extremely, extremely flamboyant.
Yeah.
And very awesome dude. So great the entire time.
Serenaded us with some Luther Vandross.
Yeah, he was killing the game. But as we're all leaving, Nick had already left, like, because I don't know, he was probably distracted by something else, Gia or someone. And Cody comes up to me and is like, oh, tell my sweetie pie that I say goodbye. And I was like, okay, I will do. Thanks, Cody. You've been awesome. And we leave. And I tell Nick, I was like, oh, yeah, he says to tell your sweetie pie goodbye. Nick stops everything, goes back in to say bye to him.
I said, Cody, see you later. And he's like,
he's like, Nick just can't turn it off. He just can't.
The thing about this is you guys don't fucking understand how to make a fan for life.
I don't.
Do you get me?
I don't.
You got to be cool and you got to put the extra effort
in. Did you
guys
give him a kind of funny URL or anything?
No, he'll know. He'll figure it out. One day he's going to, he's going to get so big, he's going to stumble across the podcast.
Well, I mean, we can do it right now. Everybody go to Pogo. What was it called?
Poco?
P-O-C-O?
Poco.
P-O-C-O? Poco? Like Poco would have a K in it, wouldn't it?
No, it's Spanish P-O-C-O. For little.
Nah, that makes sense. Anyway, go there and say hi to Cody for Nick Scarpino and show him this video.
Cody was lovely.
He was amazing.
Now, I just thought it would be funny to go back in and say what's up
to him. It was all amazing.
Anyways,
back to it. We're here. We had amazing tapas. That place was fucking awesome. Cody was great. Everything was great.
Amazing.
But Gia was going to meet up with some of her friends because it was one of her friends' birthdays.
Oh, Jesus.
I forgot this. Now you remember. Yeah, so it's like, we're about to do this. And now I'm sitting here like, all right. I got to take one for this. I got to take my walk in Central Park. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I got to go to this goddamn birthday. Not birthday party, just birthday at some fucking bar, club, whatever the hell thing.
Wherever you go.
Whatever.
Wherever you're
somewhere in New York. I'm like, cool, whatever. Also, the night is young. So I'm like, cool.
It was only like, what,
and like,
10:30
there's a couple of us. Like, we're surveying the table, and it's just like, hey, Joey, do you want to come? And Joey's like, of course I want to come. And it's like, hey, cool, Greg, do you want to come? And he's like, of course. I'll meet you guys later. Like, okay, cool.
Cool Greg's got New York shit to do.
Yeah. And it's like, cool. And then, like, we didn't even ask Nick and Andy because it's just like, you guys can come if you want, but like, we're not even going to, like, don't worry about it. And Andy goes, cool, man, I'm going to go get some pizza and then just go to bed, right? Meanwhile, Nick goes, no. We're going to this. And then Nick proceeds to peer pressure Andy to go to this thing that Nick didn't want to go to either.
You know he's such an innocent boy. Why would you do this to him?
That's how you make him tough. You think people that fight in wars and they want to go out there, or you push their ass out of the fucking helicopter?
That's true.
You go, take one for the fucking team.
You're right.
No, I was like, first off, it was like 11 o'clock when we got done with dinner, which is 8 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
On a Friday night. And I'm like, I'm not going to go to bed right now. Like, our Airbnb sucks. So why would I go back?
You loved our Airbnb.
It was fine, but I wasn't dying to get back to the Airbnb.
Sure,
and
fair.
I'm like, I'm in New York. I'm probably going to be too tired to party tomorrow night. And I've already had a couple cocktails. So let's keep this fun rolling.
Yeah.
Why not?
So we did. And we ended up at
went to a taxidermy bar.
It was a taxidermy bar called Home Sweet Home.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we walk up to it and immediately they're like, oh, there's a cover. And I literally turn around and I'm like, hey, Gia, there's a cover. Sorry, let's go. And she's like, no, I'll pay for the cover. And I was just like, all right.
And I was like, Gia's paying for the cover. We're in. Let's go.
So she paid for the cover for everybody.
Oh, my God.
Pretty much.
How much was the cover?
It was $5. And she didn't actually pay for it. It was cash only.
Gotcha.
Layers here. And I'm just like, I guess I'll just sit through this. Nick made the most of the situation because he's Nick and you killed him always. But then
walked in and there was like ferrets, like stuffed ferrets in behind glass.
So Nick
and it was called Home Sweet Home and I just watched The Dirt. And I'm like, this is kismet. There's a coat person that's useless because everyone was so fucking cold they didn't need to steal their coats. That was cool. And I walk in and there's a daiquiri machine. And I'm like, is that daiquiri machine?
And Nick tried every single one.
There's two.
I was like, wait a minute. Many pictures with these ferrets.
One was a coyote. I was just having a good time. I was feeling the vibe.
I thought we were supposed to have fun that night.
I'm sorry. It was a dance bar.
On the dance floor?
It was a dance bar that exclusively played
like rockabilly style.
Tequila.
Sure, but it was awesome.
And Andy's sitting there. He looks at me. He's like, this is the most white people shit I've ever seen. I was like, damn.
It was a fun bar. I was having good cocktails. And by good cocktails, I mean, there was just well drinks, but they tasted good.
Sure.
And then I go, what's going on with those daiquiris? Because I wanted something sweet. I think is where Tim's going with this, because I fucked over Andy for not getting pizza. Is that where the story was going to go?
That's where the story was going.
Oh, okay. So I'll pick this up. Having a good time. It was supposed to be Gia and a bunch of Gia's friends, but all the other friends had done the same conversation we had. but on their side, and they actually made the right choice, which was just to go home. So it was just the one birthday girl who was waiting in line by herself and was so happy to see us because she was like, wow, my friend, like someone friends came. Actually came out. Had a good time. Bought her a bunch of drinks. I think she probably had a terrible night after that.
You brought her too many drinks.
I like to have
so many tequila shots. I had to
hold her up for the rest of the night. And I'm like, this is my fucking nightmare, Nick.
Fuck him. He sucks.
Oh my God. To the point where I was like, and then I was like, I want something sweet. And I walked over to the bartender. I was like, hey, what's in those? Are those like pina coladas or daiquiris? She's like, well, one's a pina colada. The other one's a frozen Irish coffee.
Holy
and
I was like, shit.
Son of a bitch. All those words together make sense. Let's go. Brought it to the table. Everyone's like, what is that? I was like, it's a frozen Irish coffee. Everyone took turns sipping this thing and we all had the same revelation. It's the best fucking thing man's ever made.
Yeah.
It's great. I would be remiss if I weren't to say that I tried the daiquiri as well or the pina colada as well. Equally as good.
Okay.
Very sweet. Kind of made me a little drunk and kind of sick to my stomach. Sure. Doesn't matter. Then the real conversation happens to him. Are we going to get pizza after this? And Joey and I lock eyes, and I was like, Joey, pizza or donuts? And she was like, fuck, let's get donuts.
No, that's not what happened. Nick in the car demanded that I look up donut shops.
I was like, where are the East Coast? There's got to be a 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts here somewhere, right?
Sure.
And she goes, fine, yeah, I'll totally find one. Googled it. And apparently the East Coast, being the worst coast, doesn't update their fucking Google results.
Oh, no.
Because we went to this place. She's like, oh, good, there's one like 4 blocks away from where we're staying. Great. We get out. I'm like, where is this place? We spent 5 minutes looking for it. I was like, I don't see a Dunkin' Donuts anywhere here. Turns out it was gone.
There's like a blown out hole in the wall, smoldering.
No, they had turned it into a very bougie, like 24-hour urgent care or something like that. I was like, well, this is absolutely not what I want. And then we looked across the street and there was a place called Remedy, which was like an all night diner. And I'm like, Joe. And she's like, let's go. Okay. And then even Andy was like, well, at this point I'm out. So let's just go.
And he went with you guys.
Yeah. And you got mozzarella sticks.
Me and Gia did not go with you guys.
No, we got waffles and pancakes and mozzarella sticks, and I got eggs.
Do you regret that?
No, not at all.
Okay. Gia had some hiccups at that point.
We had hiccup Gia this trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hiccup Gia is great.
My God. Hiccup Gia, a fair rarity in public. I had to deal with it a lot. We had her 2 nights in a row this time.
Wow.
Which essentially, the meet and greet got her. That killed her. That was day two. Right. Day one was just like we did it to ourselves. Yeah. We like drank. Well, did we do it to ourselves? Or did Nick just order a lot of drinks? I don't know. It was somewhere in between those two statements.
Did you have fun?
The second night. All right.
I had fun.
We're there and at the meet and greet. Yeah. And Gia, like best friends are so amazing. Getting her wine the entire night. I think like she was double fisted in this wine the entire time.
Hell yeah.
Meanwhile, she was like, you know, kind of like pacing herself for the 3 hour meet.
Used air quotes there.
If you not know. Pacing yourself for the, you know, 15-hour excursion this ended up being.
Sure.
So, yeah, by the time we were at the little Mexican place after, oh, God, we got hiccup Gia. And we were in the Uber coming back home, and it was, like, all of us in there. And she's just hiccuping away, and she was so embarrassed about it all. And we're all, of course, not letting it slide. We're just making so much fun of her. And then what was the quote, Joey?
Oh, we were driving back, and she was like, I am all alone on Hiccup Island, and none of you are helping me.
She kept asking us to help. And
why
I'm
didn't
like,
she help scare?
I've told you guys this for years.
I was like, I don't
she
know how to
help
She says help
for the most random thing, because I'm like, I don't know how to help you right now.
You're like, you just got hiccups. You got to ride this one out, man. The storm's already come.
Hiccups are easy to stop. Scare them. Just got to scare them.
Yeah, but then we would have also all died, because there's no way that our Uber driver would have taken that well.
No, he was
not. Oh, see, you're going too big. You're going too big. It's simple. I wasn't there. You look at your phone like, oh my God, guys, Greg's been in a car accident.
Yeah,
that would have changed the tenor of the conversation. She would have believed it. She would have stopped.
That's not how Andy scares people.
I don't think that's the scare that you're going for there. I think that's more of an emotional like roller coaster. Not
it definitely stops hiccups. I'll tell you right now.
Jump scare. That's
everybody. If anybody knows me in your life and they have hiccups, just all be like, oh my God, look, I just looked at Twitter. Greg's dead. Like just that's all. You'll stop the hiccups on those people.
I want to circle back around though to the last night we were there with the WrestleMania and the gentleman.
I'm not even. Yeah, this was the where I was still in this thing. We're on tangents.
Tim went on a tangent, but I want to circle.
Andy never got his pizza.
No, because first off, the range of emotions that night was staggering. There was a lot of them
on WrestleMania night or these nights.
WrestleMania night from the start of the apocalypse to the end of the night, it was a roller coaster of emotions.
So in the car, I'm like, Andy, I'm going to solve this problem for you.
Yeah,
we all want pizza. I haven't had dinner. You know what I mean? I had gone and had pizza. I guess at like a weird like 3 p.m. dinner right before I went out to WrestleMania, and then I had some of the snacks we had there, but I didn't eat like a lot because I was like, we're getting fucking late night pizza. Jen's like, we're getting late night pizza. Andy's like, we're getting pizza. Nick's like, we're getting pizza. It's happened. So we're in the car. This cab ride doesn't know where he's going. He's blind as hell. Nick's got to stop him from killing us in the left and right. And then we start talking about Trump. Get out the
and
phone.
Immigration.
Get out the phone. And he's an immigrant.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started. Get out of the phone. And while they're in there, I just get the Postmates in there. Original Rays. You know what I mean? I've heard of this. It's a joke a lot. Order a big old pie. Order a bunch of mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
Set it. And then we get close into Manhattan. People are like, so where are we stopping for pizza? I'm like, don't worry, guys. Pizza's on its way. And everyone's like, yeah, we did it. Hey, congratulations. Don't kill us, old man. So again, he tries to drive down the one-way street. This shit's happening, blah, blah, blah. We pull up to the house finally. We get out. It's pouring rain.
Dumping.
Downpour of rain. But we're right there. We get inside. It's 2:30, 2:45.
At this point, by the way, I want to say that my emotions with this cab driver have come full circle. Well, at first I was very happy to see him. Then we were like, we're on weird street and we're driving real slow. But when we got home, I felt this urge to turn to the man and say, hey, are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
Are you going to get back to Jersey okay?
Yeah.
Because now you're like my grandfather. We're like, oh, I don't want to hang out with
Grandpa.
Shouldn't
be driving alone
at night.
And
then at the end, you're like, you know, I should take care of Grandpa.
But and you then didn't I just, say. You just got out of the car.
And he was like, yeah. And then I just closed the door and let him just drive back. Probably. My guess is he drove right into the Hudson.
Sure.
Just right into the Hudson.
That's fair. We get upstairs. Now, what's important to this conversation, of course, is that we have a 7 a.m. flight.
Yeah.
We had agreed to leave for the Newark airport at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's 2:30 already by the time we get home.
Now we're threading the needle of, like, do we just stay out?
Jen, who is coming off of prep for GDC and PAX, then a week in Montreal working, has been exhausted already, right? So we get there and she's like, I'm already tapping on this pizza. I realize it's only 10 minutes away. I'm going straight to bed.
Smart,
I'll see you guys
smart
morning.
Call.
Of course, Superman 3 is on TV. So we're star watching that. I put on my PJs. I get made fun of Nick, even though I don't understand. He wears a Hawkins shirt, but he wants to make fun of my PJs.
You just have amazing PJs that, like, you look like you should be doing jazzercise in like 1998 with them.
Maybe I would.
Great.
Doesn't matter. We all chill out there. We're all hanging out. They're getting into the Cheez-Its. They're getting into the rest of the snack.
We had Cheez-Its. We had combos. We had Tostitos with a hint of lime.
And I'm like, I'm not going to touch that. I'm waiting on this pizza and these mozzarella sticks because I'm destroying. I'm watching the phone and I got, it's, you know, everybody's a bike courier. You got a little bike guy coming down on the Postmates app and it's like, he's arriving now. I go down there so excited, leave the elevator, turn to the glass doors, and I see him there, rain, just drenched in rain, no pizza, but the backpack on that has a cooler, and then like the city bike, and like the city, like the bank bikes that you can rent. So he doesn't have his own bike.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. I open the door and he's like, hey, so your pizza wouldn't fit in my backpack.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's not how pizzas work. And so I rode over here with it. But, and he gestures to the pouring rain. He's like, it got ruined.
Yeah.
So I have the rest of your food, hands me the mozzarella stick bag. And he's like, you can order another pizza from the place. I'm just going to put it into Postmates as destroyed. They won't charge you.
Now here's
I'm like, okay. And the door shuts in my face. And so I come upstairs and I open the door to the apartment and it swings open. And I'm laughing about it, even though I'm starving and exhausted. Laughing about it. And Andy looks at me and just goes, oh no.
Yeah. We knew that was the way that I was going. Two questions for this amazing Postmates delivery guy.
Sure.
One, was it a shock that in New York fucking city, somebody asked you, a fucking delivery guy, to deliver a fucking pizza in New York City? Because it seemed like this guy's like, I've never seen one of these fucking discs before.
Until he put cheese on it.
You fucking moron.
Well, about time for me to start being a Postmate. Night one, downpour. I'm going to put my credit card in to get the city bike for an hour. What are you doing?
Jesus Christ. Like, you don't have. And two, was it crazy to you that it was going to rain that night? It had been raining the whole fucking 3 days we were there.
I would pay to see.
Jesus
it's just
Christ,
video
man.
Footage of this man riding the 17 blocks in the pouring rain.
Was he holding the pizza?
Holding the pizza?
You know what here's what happened. He was like, shit, it's starting to rain. If only I had a large disc to fucking keep the rain off my head. Oh, yeah. There it is right there. It's working out really fucking well. Like, these guys are really going to appreciate it. 3 o'clock in the fucking morning,
like,
I got a pizza.
Keep in mind, we get there and he has nothing. Where did he put the pizza?
Where were you going to put it?
Was he riding and then it was like a Monty Python skit and like he dropped it?
Yeah,
and
that's
everywhere?
Question number two. When you saw the pizza and you saw your bike, why wasn't the first thing you thought, this is not going to work, guys. I got to figure something out. Or wrap the fucking thing in plastic.
Yeah.
He just showed up and was like,
no pizza.
What I'll do is I'll strap it to the front wheel. And you just spin. But the centripetal force will keep it
so
in place.
So I ate 3 mozzarella sticks, a handful of Cheez-Its. I'm going to bed for an hour and a half. See you guys.
And the mozzarella sticks were terrible.
Yeah, they weren't good.
So,
but they'd also just been, maybe took forever for him to ride over here. I don't blame Ray's for that.
I hate it.
And then so then we woke up and Andy had not slept. He just watched Step Brothers.
Yeah, I got a solid hour of sleep because I was like, I can't not sleep.
Yeah, you
got
to get something.
So we got an hour of sleep and then we just left. And it would have been.
We just left.
How was it?
That was New York. That was the World Tour meet and greet.
That was fun.
Vancouver, can you beat it? May 4th, we are coming to you.
And if you're a Postmates person in Don't Vancouver, fuck with us, we're probably going to order a pizza. So maybe brush up on the pizza schematics right now.
Don't rent the bike. Have a bike designed to carry pizza.
Or a fucking car. Get a car.
It's true, too.
What happened to the days where delivery drivers drove cars?
Well, I don't even mind if you have a moped.
Remember the thing?
Or you have a bike with the thing on the back. We all saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
There was Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking, yeah. God. Peter could figure it out. You know what I mean?
Peter was a terrible delivery. This sure. is the guy we're talking about. Peter would have been terrible.
No, Peter wouldn't be this bad. And that's the thing. This guy was not Spider-Man. If he showed up and he's like stuffing the mask in his pocket, I'd be like, I understand, Spidey. Don't worry. Like, this is forgiving. No, I'm like, you're a fucking moron Spidey. Who rented a bike. I don't know why you're like, I need to make $15 right now.
Jesus fucking Christ. I was like, swing back over there and get me another pie, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, too. You know what I mean? Sons of bitches each and every day. Tim?
Yes.
You want to try on your glasses?
You want to do it in the post show?
Sure, why not? If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny podcast each and every week. Rest in peace, Andy Cortez. Best friends gather on this table, coming to talk to you about what's happening in their lives. If you want to be a part of it, go to the Kind of Funny World Tour meet and greets. We got one coming up. That's right. Vancouver, May 4th, kindoffunny.com/events. You will hear information about London soon-ish as well up there. If you want to see the show early, it's easy. You can watch us record it live or get it early without any ads as a video and MP3 over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But if you got no bucks to toss our way, you can wait a few days and see it post on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe with ads and stuff like that. We're gonna do a post show right now that you can get on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.